I've always envied the difference of music culture in Japan. Since I started playing imported games, I also learned about the number of albums they release. Everything from official OSTs, remix or remake OSTs, like the Final Fantasy piano and vocal collections, to doujin released by the producers themselves. But here in the States and on the internet at large, the story is very different, and I don't wish the legal hassle on anyone. Join your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, as they explain this and the rest of the week's news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio Live. Once again tonight, episode number 843 of our show for this November the 15th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joined here, as I am live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, with my co-hosts. Say hello first and foremost to Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hello.
Hi, Jamie. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm on week four, but I'm finally starting to feel better. I'll put it this way, my tests were negative, but my doctor hasn't ruled out COVID.
Oh, interesting. I've heard of false negatives and things like that, so.
Well, the thing is that I also did the serology test, and the serology test is pretty much useless because a good portion of the population doesn't create antibodies.
Well, hang in there. I'm glad to hear you're at least on the mend and doing better.
I basically have one more week of recovery and then I'm clear, so
sounds good.
It's just my voice has been cutting out, so, but I can talk a little bit longer. Just it still is kind of like sounding like, you know, that fry.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the day when all of us can be in the same studio again. I know it's still, you know, several months out, but just really looking forward to that day. So,
just wait until we have a competent administration.
I know. I've 65 days. Anyway, before I introduce everybody else, it's no secret, obviously, this week, new game console release week. It's a big week. And Dark Sakura, we've talked before on the show about how you guys are kind of waiting for a little bit. So I thought, since you are the queen of classic games, I thought I'd put you on the spot with a different question here. And I'm going to open this up to our chat as well, because, of course, we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. So the question is, we're going to be talking about some launch games that came out and, you know, some other things too. But looking back on all of the systems throughout history and all of the various launch titles we've had, like, you know, games that have launched consoles, there's been some good ones, there's been some terrible ones. I'm kind of curious, Dark Sakura, if you have a particular favorite or maybe memorable launch title in your heart. I am putting her on the spot. I didn't warn her about this question, so she might need a little time to think, but I'm putting y'all on the spot in our chat room as well if you guys have any questions or any questions. Of course you have questions.
There were definitely ones that I liked, but I think the one that really just stuck itself out as memorable for me, actually I've got two that I can name because I just remember how cool it felt, you know, was I'm pretty sure Super Mario World was a launch title.
It was.
Yeah. I mean, I remembered Super Mario Brothers wasn't initially, so I kind of was getting the two a little bit mixed. But yeah, Super Mario World was like one of the big ones for me. We had gotten, my mom's like, that year, should we get your brother a Super Nintendo or a Genesis? And I'm like, you're getting them Super Nintendo and it's for me. So I told her what games to get. I was like, I don't care what else you get, but you have to get, you know, A Link to the Past, you know. Super Mario World was, for me, just the big thing that made me super, super excited about having a Super Nintendo. Yeah. I played the shit out of it. My brothers sucked at it, but, you know, they were like 10, something like that. I probably played it so much more than they did. I've beaten it completely by myself when the game first came out. And then I dedicated a lot of time to Link to the Past after that. But that really stuck out for me. And then another one was Sonic Adventure. because remember we had our Dreamcast pretty much right after the Japanese launch.
Nice.
And we played so much Sonic Adventure and, you know, looked for all the glitchy stuff and everything. I really, really enjoyed Sonic Adventure. I was really into it. Of course, it had some of my favorite Japanese voice actors in it. Like for Knuckles at this time. Okay, I have to also explain. I had a minor obsession with Hayashi Nobutoshi, who was also he was Tasuki in Fushigi Yugi. He was Basara in Macross 7. Kind of a really amazing singing voice. And he was, he was in the game. Mm-hmm. And he was, Knuckles. He was Knuckles' voice right. actor. Mm-hmm. And so I was, really, really just enamored with the game. I liked playing Amy, even though she was a little bit annoying. I liked the music in it. I was so enamored. So when the US Dreamcast launch happened, mm-hmm. so I actually have to rewind a little bit more for that because there was the rental before launch. Oh, and we yeah. did rent a US one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that demo version that was the US one. And then after that, when we got our US Dreamcast, we just played through Sonic Adventure again. Of course, I had to switch the voices back to Japanese because after playing it so long in Japanese, the U.S. voices were disjointed to me. It was just not saying the voice acting was bad. I'm just saying that I was still used. I have the same problem with anime today. Like if I go watch any Dragon Ball, I have to watch it in Japanese because those are the voices I heard first.
Right.
I still prefer Ranma in Japanese because I watched it that way first. Sailor Moon, same thing, you know. One of the few anime that I'm not like that with is Those Who Hunt Elves because I first watched it in English and I got used to those voice actors. So
it's kind of
but going back to it, I those two are probably the big ones that stick out in my head as far as some of the more memorable ones.
All right, great.
Yeah, I really loved it.
Great answers. Let me add some stuff in chat, and then I've got to introduce the other folks on tonight's show who've been waiting patiently. Let me see. ActDef says, Breath of the Wild is definitely one of the best launch titles ever. Yeah, Nintendo certainly knows how to launch a console, huh? I like this answer from Bobby Blackwolf. My favorite Xbox 360 launch title was Geometry Wars. And SheHulk10 says, Dead Rising 3 for Xbox One was and is awesome. I forgot that was a launch title. And yeah, the Dead Rising series, that was a good one. All right. Waiting patiently and with us every week. Say hello, of course, to Techmaster Loki joining us tonight.
Hello.
Hey, Loki. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
What are you running behind you tonight? Is that Final Fight, like a sequel, not the first one? Or what is that?
No, it's Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. I have an idea for, like...
I haven't seen that
for a game I was supposed to put behind me. And, like, I had it, like, earlier this week. I was like, oh, yeah, I saw a game. I'm like, yeah, I need to do that one. And completely forgot it today.
Oh, no. So
like, Mo, what game was it that I saw? I'm like, it was something that I saw out there. I was like, oh, yeah, I totally remember that. I need to put that behind me. But nope, completely forgot. So
my memory has always been terrible. It's been getting worse as I get older. And now it's getting even worse because of this whole quarantine situation. And they actually say that, like, you know, it's contributing to people having the brain fog and all that stuff. So it's... welcome to old age, Loki.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that. It's just there's, you know, different things going on this week. So I'm sure whatever it was that I saw, you know, I thought it might have been like Sam and Max. I can't remember if I've done that already because of all the like Sam and Max news we'll be talking about. But I don't know if it was that. It was something else. But like I saw it and I was like, oh, yeah, I need to do that. And then immediately like today I was like, OK, wait, what game was that I was thinking of? So I had to really quickly come up with something.
All right. Well, we'll come back to you in a minute because I want to talk about how launch week has been going for the new consoles. I want to know, I'm going to even ask, did you even get your Xbox? You were worried about that with Walmart.
No, it came right when they said it was going to. So, yeah, I actually earlier than they said it was going to. So they originally said it was going to be here on the 12th, but it ended up being here on launch day. So it was fine. But I have it sitting right here under my monitor. Got my controller and everything, but yeah, it's sitting here. I got a brand new 4K monitor for it, so it's looking nice.
All right. Well, I'm going to come back to you in a minute because we're going to talk all about the new Xbox. But he's been waiting there so patiently, and you guys on Twitch that are watching live can see that he's back tonight. And I've got to introduce, say hello, everybody, to Shane, or Shad Starzik on Twitch, if you will, who's joining us again tonight. Hi, Shane.
Hello.
And I got to say, Shane, you are looking so much better than the last time you were here.
Yeah, I feel better.
Good.
Still run down. I'm actually feeling run down, but that's okay. I've got Dr. Pepper, and I have to study for a test tomorrow, so I'm going to be up all night.
Yeah. And for those that missed the episode, you were here, what, about like 4 or 5 weeks ago on the show, and you were right in the midst of...
three.
Was it? Wow. Time flies. You were right in the midst of battling COVID last time you were here on the show, but you came here anyway to talk about, I think it was the Pokemon DLC you were talking about that night. So,
yeah.
And you were kind of like lying in bed still, and but tonight you're propped up, you've got... You know, that light effect behind you.
I know. I'm in my computer chair,
uh-huh.
My little corner in the living room, and I'm using my brand new iPhone 12 Pro Max.
Oh, rub it in. Why don't you?
Shaky. I don't have a web. So this is just what has to work.
No, honestly, the phone works. I'm using the phone for this particular shot here that's going out on Twitch right now. So it works. All right. But part of the reason I brought you here tonight was because if you've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio, then you know that I want to get I've gotten an Xbox, pre-ordered one of those. We'll talk about how that went because it wasn't so smooth. Loki got an Xbox. None of us really have PlayStation 5 represented here. So Shane, you got a PlayStation 5 this week, right?
And an Xbox.
So you've got both. So I want to talk to you about how this week went. So obviously, this is a big week. Last week, our show got cut short abruptly, unfortunately, thanks to the internet, which I'm hoping is holding in there more steady tonight, knock on wood, but I've had less problems this week, which is good. But last week, we were still able to talk for an hour and a half. We talked a good chunk about how we are on the dawn of a new generation with PlayStation and Xbox launching new consoles, you know, and we were kind of wondering, you know, is it too early for them to be doing it? Is it going to be worth it and all this? And now we have a lot of answers to many of those questions. Echoing something that Bobby said, he goes on, of course, before us here at the Voice Geeks Network, echoing something that he said is that, well, clearly the launch went great because they're selling out. So no, these consoles didn't go, or I'm sorry, no, these consoles didn't come out too early because they're selling out. So it's going very well. And yeah, the consoles have been very hard to obtain. Loki, I'll start with you on the Xbox Series X. So tell us how that went for you, the ordering process, and kind of what you've been playing on it. I figured we usually do a kickoff topic here on tonight's show, and then we do our gaming weeks. But this week, the big topic is our gaming weeks. So we're just going to kind of jump into it. So, Loki, I'm going to kind of ask you about your gaming week with the Xbox Series X.
Sure. So, like, the ordering process, it was basically when those orders were opened up originally back in September. I just had all the different, you know, retailers online, all their sites open, and Walmart happened to be the first one that let me put something in my cart and submit the order. So that's what I went with. And so I was kind of worried that it may not arrive on time or at all because I had issues with my Mario Kart Live where came to be launch day and they hadn't even shipped yet. So I had to cancel that one, but thankfully I was able to get that in store. I knew that wouldn't be the case with the Xbox Series X. So other than that, I mean, it was fine. It arrived on time. Like I said, you know, I was worried that it would be here late because originally they were estimating the 12th, but it arrived on the 10th and I was like, cool. And so really what I've been playing on, I don't really have a ton of stuff. So I haven't had an Xbox since the 360. So I finally got Games Pass Ultimate and I just was downloading some stuff on there. I was looking at all my Xbox stuff I have on there, like 94 games because of my old 360 Games of Gold stuff. So there's quite a bit of old 360 games I have, but I don't really have a lot of Xbox One games. I guess I have a few with like Crackdown and Forza because I had purchased those on PC, which is nice. But so I ended up getting Yakuza Like a Dragon because I wasn't really sure of what launch games I really wanted. There was nothing really kind of standing out. And I was trying to look for something that was really showing off the Series X. And really the only thing they have is like Forza Horizon 4 and I already have that. So I started downloading that. It's taken a long time, but think it's finally downloaded now. But I've been mainly playing Yakuza, which is interesting because I've never played a Yakuza game before. And this one is more like a an RPG. So they actually set up, because the main character is a huge fan of Dragon Quest. And so it's all turn-based combat, which I love it. It's great.
Oh, that's cool.
The story is a bit slow, but it's just like, it really feels like playing like a Dragon Quest or Final Fantasy game. It's just kind of funny in that sense.
I heard that was like that it was more like an old school RPG, so it's kind of more of a spin-off game. So, you know, and I've had people for years telling me, you need to get into Yakuza, you need to get into that series. I wonder if the fans of the series would think this is a good one to start with, or no, don't start here.
This is definitely different, because the other ones are brawlers. I mean, this is still a brawler, but it's turn-based, so it's different. It's all right. I mean, it's certainly not like a huge powerhouse, like pretty looking game. I mean, it does look not like it's pushing the high-end graphics or anything like that. But I don't know. It's all right. I've enjoyed it a little bit. I haven't been playing a whole ton because I've been working on my game. But I did play like probably 5 hours of it so far. And it's all right. It's just there's so much story. And I'm still like in the tutorial section of the game. Haven't even gotten very far in it. It's just, it's so much dialogue. Like, I get it, but there's like some of it doesn't really, it's just like dragging out so long. Like, oh my God. And they have options to skip past dialogue, but I'm like worried I'm missing something, but I'm really not missing anything. So I don't know. It's really slow to get started, but it is somewhat interesting. The story is interesting enough. It's just, it's like, oh my God. When are we going to get to like the actual like game? But the action's cool. So there are some action sequences and stuff in the game. I don't know. I enjoy it so far. We'll see how long I play through it and everything. Aside from that, I did try Minecraft a little bit because my kid wanted me to play it. And honestly, I couldn't say that it looks any different. That's definitely not a game that would benefit from the Series X. Now, saying that, once they do push out the ray tracing stuff, which I have played on PC, that does look really great. Like if they can do that on a Series X, then that would be definitely one to revisit because it looks really good when they do that. But right now, obviously it doesn't look any different than it did before. I saw it in the list. I haven't downloaded it yet, but Lost Odyssey is on Games Pass, and I was like, maybe I should go back to Lost Odyssey. but no, I've been really kind of just going through there to see, you know, what would really showcase the system. I know Ori might be a good one. Forza Horizon, like I said, I've already downloaded that, but like I'm worried I don't want to fill up the hard drive already with this, all the games out and stuff. And I mean, hopefully still we have Cyberpunk coming out in, you know, a little less than a month.
Yeah, we definitely don't want another delay on that for sure.
Yeah, hopefully that comes out, but yeah.
I'm going to jump in here because I forgot we have a time constraint with Shane, so I want to make sure he's able to get his impressions, especially with the PlayStation 5 and so forth. So I'll come back to you, though, Loki, if you have more to add. But Shane, how was your week with the new consoles? How did that go for you?
So pretty easy for me in terms of getting them. We've talked about, like, the magical powers I have for things like persuasion for people to get stuff done. And I'm also an expert at getting in line for things, which is kind of how I got at least one of these consoles. So Xbox, whatever, you guys are going to talk about that. I haven't really done much with it, to be completely honest.
Real quick, why? Why is the Xbox taking a back seat for you?
Because it wasn't the console I was originally getting. I only got it under a weird circumstance. So
okay,
PS5, I went to Best Buy because I had gotten a pre-order there, and I went at 6 a.m. because that was my time slots, because they were doing time slots to pick up your system. And literally there were probably about 20-25 people that were there for the same time slot. Like, they were all people that had it pre-ordered. It was a pretty smooth process, except I saw, if you haven't seen the box, I can't really reach it right now, so whatever. It has a little handle on top so you can carry it.
It's one of those like cheap little plastic handles, isn't it?
It's really flimsy. And I saw three people hold it by the handle, and the handle snapped while they were holding it, and the console come crashing down to the floor as they were walking out of the store.
Yikes.
So, yeah, that wasn't good. Otherwise, I don't want to say I'm a Sony fanboy, but I tend to just play on their products mostly besides Nintendo. And I love my PS5. The controller is fantastic. It's just basically the same as what the Joy-Cons were trying to do, but a little more advanced feeling. For launch games, I got four. I got Demon's Souls, which I haven't played yet. I just installed it. I got the Miles Morales game that came with Spider-Man 1. And so I played a little bit of Spider-Man, but not Miles Morales yet. I got the Sackboy game. Haven't even opened it yet or installed it. And I got Godfall. I did install that, and I played that for probably a good hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fun little, like, hack and slash loot game. And it's really pretty. And that's what I guess I didn't realize I was missing on my consoles was, like, a really nice high definition 60 frames per second experience. And that's what I'm getting with these new games. I don't switch it to, I don't switch Godfall into the pretty fancy ray tracing mode because it just chugs if you do that. But if you keep it on performance, it's beautiful and really fast. Spider-Man, though, super cool looking at 60 frames a second, but I keep it on the visual fidelity mode because it's really, really nice looking. I can deal with 30 frames a second problem. And Astrobot's amazing. Astrobot is so good. I don't care if it's just like PlayStation propaganda throughout the entire game. It's such a nostalgia trip for some of the things I've seen, and I love it.
I've heard a lot of good things about Astro Boy, considering, you know, I think most people were kind of...
Astrobot.
I'm sorry, Astrobot. Astro Boy is a different thing. Considering so many people were, like, overlooking it, as just kind of writing it off as, oh, the tech demo game that, you know, they're just kind of throwing in there because it's cheap. But it really seems like a lot of social media is really taking to this game. Like, no, it's a strong game on its own just for, mm-hmm. like you're saying, the nostalgia features and being able to kind of show everything off. Like, it seems like it's a much better kind of deal than 1-2 Switch, say.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it really gets you acquainted with the controller and all the things that are available to you know, be used for that fancy new controller. We'll see if in even 6 months' time if other games are taking advantage of it. Godfall didn't really feel that special in terms of, like, fun controller things. Neither did regular Spider-Man. So we'll see. Maybe more people will look to Astrobot now that it's out, more developers will, and really see what they can do with that.
Just tell me if you have to go, by the way, but I want to ask you this question kind of about the, since I don't, you know, you're kind of like our PlayStation 5 voice tonight. What do you kind of think? Like, do you feel like this console is like a huge step up from the 4? Like, what is this like really bringing to the table for you that's exciting?
So the load time, and that's something I can like even speak to on the Series X. The load times make all the difference in the world, it feels like. For example, besides Astrobot, probably the game I've played most on the PS5 is Fuser from Harmonix.
I wondered when you were going to bring that up.
Yeah, because Fuser is so good. So I just downloaded it all. I was playing a little bit on PS4 when it launched, but then I was like, screw it. I'm not even going to keep my PS4 out here anymore. So let's just move everything to PS5. And just, I can't believe how I was sitting through load times before these systems. It's just, I never want load times again. But the trade-off is, at least for now, I'm already on to like maybe 400, under 400 gigs left on my PS5 for storage space. And that sucks. That, like, Spider-Man, both of them together were already 100 gigs. That's like almost under a seventh of the entire hard drive that you get. Or no, just under about a sixth. Yeah, it sucks. Like, I don't know what they need to do. I don't know what the industry needs to do to make these things cheaper. But that's, I guess, beautiful graphics, fast loading, ridiculous space constraints. That's what the new generation feels like.
At least we know the space stuff is upgradable later on. But it's kind of expensive. Those, I mean, at least the official like solid state drives are kind of expensive. I mean, a regular USB drive, not so much, but then you're missing that perk of the loading time, which over on Series X, which I'll talk about in a minute. I'm definitely noticing like, wow, this really changes things with the loading time. It's pretty impressive.
I don't even have time to switch to like the right input on my Series X before it's already up. Like I'll hit the button on the controller to turn on the system. And I hear the noise, and then I reach for the remote and turn it to the right input, and it's already there.
It's instant. It's pretty amazing. Tell us quickly before I let you go about Fuser. Like, what is it about that game you love so much?
I love Drop Mix, and Fuser is just Drop Mix without physical cards. And you get to make a character, and you get a weird campaign mode, and it has, like, rhythm-based mechanic, like timing, and it's so much fun. I just hope it's not like, I hope it gets supported for longer than 6 months, because that feels like the average Harmonix game, or even that might be stretching it. But I already want more DLC. I went all in on it. Got the big fancy pack. I pre-ordered, so I got 3 more songs, and literally, you make like your own sort of deck thing, your own box of different like music cards. And every single box I make, like there's 3 songs I keep in there. I don't care if it has to be like, if they're focusing on like rock music, or if they're focusing this box on rap and R&B and stuff like that, or country. Like, I always keep freaking Ghosts and Stuff by Deadmau5 and Rob Swire, Eyes by Rufus Du Sol, and what's the other one I keep in there? Oh, Where's Your Head At by Basement. Those 3 are always in every box I make, because I refuse to let them go. Because I always throw the vocals on over with one of those songs. I can't stop.
Are they gonna? I thought I was reading this might be a thing, but let's say you wanted to. So obviously, share play is a thing in the Sony universe. If you wanted to share play your PlayStation 5, but I'm only on PlayStation 4, am I going to be able to see that, or does that not work?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. We'll have to try it, because
I haven't tried any, like, I haven't really done a lot. Okay, so here's how it is. Oh, I got 2 new fancy consoles. What do I do last night? I play Pokemon. Like, it's just sitting there, like, I'm sitting 15 feet away from them looking at them, and I'm like, oh, but I should probably go shiny in Pokemon. That's a good idea.
I get it, though, because, like, you know, I have shiny new consoles, and we're still signing on to play Final Fantasy 14 and do dungeons, so,
I will not put that on my PS5. There is no space for that game.
Yeah,
I'm no good with keeping that on my computer.
All right. Shane, I know I got to let you go because you have another thing you got to do. But thanks. Sorry. Yeah. I know you had to sit there for a long time, but we have a lot to say. Sorry about it.
No worries.
I'm sure we'll have you back again soon. Okay.
Okay. Bye. All right.
Take care, buddy. Bye. All right. So while I fix the camera settings here live on Twitch, Loki, anything else you wanted to say on the Xbox? Because I had to cut you off a little bit. Sorry.
No, it's fine. So it's funny enough, like, I was looking at some of the PlayStation 5 games that have come out, like, especially, like, the footage of Spider-Man Miles Morales, and even, like, Sackboy and Astro Bots and stuff. Kind of makes me want a PlayStation 5, but I'm certainly waiting until next year when I don't think they're going to go down in price, but when there's more availability, and maybe when PlayStation VR 2 gets announced or is coming out. So we'll see when that happens. But definitely in the short run, like, I think there's more interesting games on the launch end for PlayStation 5. But the reason I picked an Xbox Series X is because I feel, especially with all these company acquisitions and Bethesda and everything, that there's going to be a lot more games, exclusive games, coming to the Xbox side of things.
It's definitely a Game Pass machine, and that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's cool, though, like, too, like, with Yakuza, like, say, for example, if I don't want to have that on my, I feel that this game's kind of a grind fest. I was like, man, if I could really run this with, like, trainers and stuff on PC, it'd be great. And I can, because it's all cross-buy, so I have it on PC, too, when I make a purchase on Xbox Series X or on the Xbox Marketplace. So, like, I could essentially download it to my PC if I have not enough space on my Series X.
Interesting. Yeah, because they've been doing the cross-buy thing for a little bit, because like, I remember Forza Horizon on Xbox One, and there's been several titles on Xbox One. A lot of, especially like the real first-party Microsoft stuff, was cross-buy. And that's why there's a lot of people that are like, eh, why do I need to get an Xbox if I have a PC? I don't need to get, which is fine. Sorry, I shouldn't do a voice with that, but for some people, it's what I hear, because I feel like they're trying to take a dig at Xbox. But I realize some people have that very measured approach, too, where it's like, I've got a top-of-the-line PC. There's not really anything the Xbox is going to do for me. And I do kind of get that. But like, if you sign up for Game Pass, Microsoft still got you money.
Yeah, I don't think they care whether you get a system or not. I think as long as you're playing their games, they don't really care. And that's the thing. It's like, if you don't want to get, you know, an Xbox Series X right now, maybe there's not something that you want to play on it. You can always get Game Pass or whatever and play their games when they come out. You don't have to pay any additional money for it. So it's not too bad.
I honestly, so this is going to be a really weird statement, but this is my early thought. Like, and I think the Series X is great. I'm going to get my impressions in a minute, but I almost feel like what Game Pass is bringing to the table, and eventually what Sony's going to have to respond with their own, you know, PlayStation Plus library. Sorry, I always get the name wrong of that, but you know, they're equivalent essentially. I almost feel like the next generation in some ways is more about that and the transition to that kind of ecosystem than necessarily about more bigger graphics and ray tracing and okay, the loading times. Yeah, I mean, that is certainly a big difference, but I almost feel like that other transition is going to be more representative of what we went through in this generation from the last generation, if that makes sense. So, All right. Yeah. So anyway, let me talk a little bit about my story with the Series X. So it actually is a little bit interesting because what ended up happening is that I got the Series X on Amazon. I pre-ordered it there the day it went live for everybody. And I got that email on Monday that a lot of people got that said, oh, you're not going to be getting that console until December 31st, you know, at some point until then. So I knew I wasn't going to be getting it Tuesday. So I was like, crap, I've got to go find somewhere that I can actually like try to find one of these on shelves. So Shane said he heard that Best Buy and Target were doing things. So he was on Best Buy's website. I was on Target's website. And I was able to get one, long story short, at Target. So I went into a store and picked one up at Target. And I had to go to the other side of town to do it. But I was like, hey, I got one, whatever, I'm good. So that process, honestly, was pretty easy. They didn't shrink wrap the box or anything. They didn't even put it in a bag. And there's no handle on that box. So the dude just kind of brought it out, was like, here you go, and like handed me the box, which I had to take this Xbox Series X out to the parking lot to my car. Like, just no way to hide it. But
if you're mugging.
Yeah, I know, right? Thankfully, it was still light out, and there's signs at Target that are everywhere that are like, security cameras still in use, and that whole thing. But I made it home. And again, a big reason why I opted for Series X as opposed to PlayStation 5 is because I have a PlayStation 4 Pro. I don't have an Xbox One X. So I figured the jump from Xbox One to Xbox Series X was going to be a bigger jump. And I really think I was right. So one of the games I've been playing a lot of on Series X is No Man's Sky. Yep, I never shut up about that game, and I've started that game probably over like 7 times. Well, guess what, bitches? I started my 8th playthrough thanks to a Game Pass and having that on Series X. You will notice, if you have Xbox, the new one, if you go into the Game Pass library, it has a little icon in the corner that says enhanced for Xbox Series X or S. Has a little logo for that. So you can actually see the games. And No Man's Sky, of course, is one of them. We talked about on last week's show that it was going to be getting that. And there's a bunch of others, too. Dead by Daylight, Forza Horizon, the new Ori game, and so forth. So there's plenty of games that have gotten the upgrades. And did I notice the upgrades for No Man's Sky on Series X compared to PlayStation 4 Pro? Yes, I did. Number one is the loading times. My God. Like, I used to have to sit there for a minute and a half, you know, while it's loading into the galaxy in my playthrough. Now it's down to seconds. It's like 20 seconds, 30 seconds, something like that. It's crazy. I noticed the graphics. I do notice a little bit of pop in. But I noticed that on any of the consoles, or I've noticed pop in on PC. I just think it's part of how the algorithm is in that game. But the thing that kind of strikes me is that I notice the high definition textures even on things that are in the distance. And that's probably the biggest thing that I noticed playing on Series X versus playing on any other system I've played on. I've played that game on a lot of systems. Especially, I will say, I played No Man's Sky just a little bit on Xbox One when it first went to Game Pass. It's garbage on the original Xbox One compared to what it is now. Like, the game hasn't changed, but the graphics, like, night and day. It looks so much better. So, I'm enjoying No Man's Sky again. I've probably dropped easily like 10 hours on the latest playthrough. I am blowing up my Twitter with screenshots because that's one of my favorite things to do in that game, because I just like, you know, people say No Man's Sky is kind of like Minecraft, and it's definitely crafting is the backbone of the game. But Minecraft, to me, everything looks very samey. You're either overground, you're underground, you're in the Nether, you know, but there's only so many different environments. That's the thing about No Man's Sky that really strikes me, is that every time you go to this new planet, it's going to look a lot different from where you were at before. Yes, there's some basic types that they all kind of fit into, but there's definitely enough variety and enough rare stuff that happens to kind of keep things exciting. And that's part of why I really enjoy No Man's Sky. Here's the other interesting thing I noticed with Series X, though, is that because I didn't do Xbox One X, there's some games that were already enhanced for Xbox One X that I kind of missed. So I went to go check some of those out, too. So some of the other games I played this week, I played Skyrim, the definitive edition, whatever they call the remaster one, because Alan is back into playing that on PC. So he's playing that a lot. So I was like, oh, I'll download this to show it to him on Xbox. And we were both kind of taken with, wow, this looks really good. Like, you know, it's like playing max settings on a PC, but it's on my TV, and the frame rate, very good. Like when you're looking around and stuff, that whole opening when you're in the back of the cart and everything, sometimes, you know, the frame rate could get a little weird there if you're looking around. A lot of pop in on the trees and stuff. Looks very fluid on the Xbox Series X. You definitely notice it. So I think that's another thing that, you know, it's very similar to how if you're playing PlayStation 4 games on PlayStation 5, it's like, oh, like God of War is like 60 frames a second now. Like everything's like running better. A lot of that is happening with the Xbox One games too, I think, even on things they're not advertising are Xbox Series S or X. The other one that I played a little bit of that I was like, wow, this looks so good, was Final Fantasy 15. And, you know, that game has its pluses and it has its minuses, but I will say it looks great in 4K. But, you know, I that was the first time I'd really gotten to play that in true 4K. So kind of interesting. Other games I checked out on the Series X this week, I checked out Tetris Effect Connected. I did not like that multiplayer is only restricted to ranked or play with friends. So there's no casual mode that's unranked. I was a little disappointed in that. Otherwise, it's Tetris Effect without the VR part, which is still a great game and worth you taking a look at if you have Game Pass or what have you. And then Forza Horizon 4, I looked at briefly for a little bit. And of course, that game looks great too. And it's just one of those things where how fast that game moves. That game moves so fast and it looks so good while it's doing it. So I definitely am noticing like the fluid, like you get more constant 60 frames a second. Things look really good in the distance as well as they do close up. I am noticing some of those like subtleties in this new generation. But are the games themselves different yet? Well, no, because most of the launch games are all bumped back, especially on the Xbox side. We barely got anything on the Xbox side. You got the Yakuza, you got Assassin's Creed and stuff, but nothing that really feels distinctly next generation. And I'm imagining it not until the new Halo game or something really strong first party are we really going to see that. But that being said, I'm very happy with the Xbox Series X. It's like getting a brand new video card in the computer and a new chip and like getting that upgrade that really gives it a kick in the pants. And now you want to go back and play all your old favorites to see how smooth they run again. It's very that. And that's that phase we're in right now while we wait for these other big launch titles. So, Some comments from chat. I'm sorry I've been ignoring you guys. Bobby Blackwell says, yeah, I've been playing Final Fantasy 15 on my Xbox One X, and it's beautiful. Let's see. Bonds 006 says, I'm playing Tetris Effect with a girlfriend on Xbox. She will learn the ways of Tetris. Well, Tetris is for everybody, boys and girls and everything, all the peoples. Let's see. SJ100 Matt says, I'm really getting a Series X first to play Game Pass, and at some point, Cyberpunk. I will be getting enjoying Forza Horizon 4 when I eventually do get my Series X, which will be sometime week of Thanksgiving. ActDef says, which of these will Rob end up with more of? No Man's Sky playthroughs or copies of Mass Effect 3? This would be like my eighth No Man's Sky playthrough, but it's not my eighth copy of No Man's Sky. It's just that I've started a new playthrough every time they do a big patch. So I think No Man's Sky is going to have it beat. Bobby Blackwell says, I think No Man's Sky also got a PlayStation 5 upgrade. Yes, it did. And I would fully expect all the nice things I said about Xbox, all the nice things I said about No Man's Sky on Xbox Series X are probably going to apply to the PlayStation 5 as well. And anybody jumping up from an original PlayStation 4 version, I'm fairly positive you're going to think all those same things. So there is that. I will say I've noticed a few bugs in No Man's Sky. I tweeted one of them. I died instantly on loading one of my saves. That was a bummer, but you know, things happen. Sometimes when the aliens tend to hold objects when they're talking to you, and the objects kind of vibrate and shake and move everywhere, like they're not staying in one place. I feel like these are things that we're going to see a patch from Hello Games in a week or two. The only thing that broke the game was that loading bug. And I feel like that may not be, I feel like that may just happen in that game, and it may not be exclusive to an Xbox thing. I feel like you can probably get that on PC, honestly. So there is that. Okay. I think that's pretty much all I need to say on my gaming week. Loki, anything else on the Xbox that I missed?
No, not really. I can't think of anything.
Are you happy with your purchase so far? Are you glad you got one now?
Yeah, I'm happy that I got it. I'm going to be really happy once Cyberpunk comes out, even though I already have it purchased on PC. I'll get it twice, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I probably didn't need it right away, but you know, it's better just to get it now. Yeah. And then instead of trying to fight to get it later on, I guess.
All right. Well, let's see if anybody wants to add anything to their gaming weeks outside of these new consoles. So, Dark Soccer, I'll start with you because I'm sure you're gaming. Oh, you just popped to. Oh, you good to go? Okay. And you just. I didn't. You might be muted still. But how was your. No. Oh, there you go. Okay. How was your gaming week, Dark Soccer, outside of new consoles?
Well, we picked up a thing for Dan's birthday that's a new console.
Oh, what?
But I'm not talking about it yet.
Okay.
I have a story about it later.
Okay. I know where this is going. Okay. Got it.
A thing that IGN ranked above the Xbox and the PlayStation 5.
Okay. I'm curious. All right. We'll talk about that in a minute then.
Yeah. So I actually played some of it today. Again, that will come up later. I played a little bit of pinball. It's been kind of hard to play anything else. I'm playing Animal Crossing. We just had our driveway done, so it was really loud outside, and I could hardly hear anything. And on top of that, anytime I try to play something that like would get me excited, well, my heart would start racing really badly, and I would almost have an asthma attack. So,
thanks.
I'm keeping it calm. Just keeping it calm. Lots of Wordscapes and lots of Animal Crossing and a little bit of pinball, but, you know, it gets the heart racing a bit much. It was basically coming off of the prednisone, anything that I was playing that would kind of, you know, kick me up into overdrive would get my heart rate racing too fast because of the prednisone. So now that I'm off of it, I can play some stuff again. So, yay.
No scary games for a little bit.
Well, no, scary games are fine because they don't really scare me. It's just things that are more like action-y, you know.
Okay.
So, I've got a few things coming up on my plate, and I'm finally, once all of this is behind me, I'm going to do my charity stream. So,
great.
You get to see. I think that Dream Daddy went out on my poll. So. I'm gonna get me a daddy. We'll see which daddy I go for. Might get myself a nice bear.
Oh, it's not the first time I've heard that. All right.
All right. Probably not from an ace girl.
Loki, anything you wanted to add to your gaming week outside of the new stuff?
Well, just, you know, I did, like I said, I did play a little bit of Minecraft. I played a lot more Minecraft, though, on PC. And I was working on our realm that myself and my kids have. So I was finishing up this giant roller coaster with like tons of redstone stuff in it. So I finished up the actual like coaster part of that. Still need to decorate it, but it's our giant creeper mine type roller coaster thing. It's kind of fun because we actually have like a creeper in a mine cart that we have triggered to go at certain times. So you see him like zoom by. But I have to add some more of that stuff in there. I'll have to probably shoot some video for it at some point. And then also, my youngest son wanted me to play Egg Wars with him on one of the Minecraft servers out there. So I tried that today as well. And unfortunately, it's hard to play with people that you don't know, that there's no strategy or anything and no one's talking and everybody's just kind of doing their own thing or just idling there. So that was fun. But yeah, he was really excited about it. Oh, and Orna. Played more Orna.
Yep.
That's about it.
Yeah, I don't think I have a lot to add to my gaming week outside of the consoles, except, you know, continuing. My Paladin in Final Fantasy 14 hit 80, so there's another class at 80. I will say, to answer ActDef's earlier question, I have more jobs at max level in Final Fantasy 14 than I do playthroughs of No Man's Sky. If you want to know the game I really play too much of, there's your answer there. But I also did a live stream of that earlier this week, because I was like, I haven't done a stream in a long time. Some aspects of my mental health are actually improving. Can't imagine why. But I was in a place where I felt like I could do a stream earlier this week, so I did. Yeah, it felt pretty good. I'll have to do more. I've been directly asked on Twitter by multiple people if I will do No Man's Sky on the Xbox Series X as a stream. Yes, I just don't know what night yet. So stay tuned for that on my personal channel at Rob Roberts. And then, kind of the GPS stuff. I'm a little irritated with the Niantic GPS stuff, but I'm going to save that for another week. I want to marinate on that and see how I feel in 7 days. But I have been playing Orna still, so that's pretty good. So, yeah. I'm looking for other suggestions of GPS games that I haven't, like, I thought I was on top of all of them, but I think there's some that I've missed out on. So I was writing a tweet about that, so I'm kind of curious if I might discover anything new this week. We'll see. So, yeah, ActDeft in chat says, that's true. Final Fantasy 14 is the game you're always playing. Yes, that is very true. But it's kind of the social element of that game for sure. But a lot of people, like, for some people, Call of Duty is that game because they get online with their friends and play that game. For some people, Destiny is that game because they get online, or Destiny 2, whatever, get online and play. You know what I mean? A lot of people have that kind of game that their friends get together and play. For some people, it's Dungeons and Dragons. You know, before the pandemic, people were getting together and playing D&D. During the pandemic, they're doing it on Zoom, you know, and other alternative board game types of things. So there's always game night
for
something.
Someone to run a game.
What's that?
I'm still looking for someone to run a game for me to be in.
Oh, you should.
Run second edition for me.
You should get a podcast type thing together.
I'm a shitty DM.
No, but you don't have to DM it. You can be the one that records it and publishes it if you want.
But I need someone to run it, and I need someone to run second edition D&D for me.
All right, well, y'all heard Darkstalker's request. Get in touch with her on Twitter. You're a Twitter person now. You weren't using the site very much at all for a long time, and now just in the past few months, your Twitter's been on fire.
I'm pretty exclusive on it now. I mean, I need this is a stupid ego thing, but I really wish that I had like the 8 more followers to hit 1,000, because I did ignore it for a while, you know.
Yeah.
And now I've got 2 of them. Don't forget, I have Gen X Geeks, because
of course,
my
sure.
blog.
Mm-hmm.
And which my blog is actually, I feel like it's starting to do better. I found my flow on it.
Oh, good.
So, but I mean, yeah.
Okay. So you have 2 Twitter accounts on your phone. Do you know how many I have? I'm showing it from a distance. I have one. So I have my, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I have 9 accounts on my phone, 9 Twitter accounts. Because, and no, there's no After Dark alt. We're going to rule that out right now. That is not one of them. Okay. But I have me, OLR, Horde House. I haven't used it since 2014. My very secret day job Twitter account that nobody knows about, nobody's going to know about, and that is not an invitation to go find it, because that is me separating day and night stuff. VOG Network, Guys on a Show, Reading is Fundamental podcast, Pokestop podcast, and Shaking and Crying. I have 9 Twitter accounts. Now, granted, I only use maybe 3 of those with any regularity anymore, but it's just funny. So soon you'll have more.
Because, I mean, I made one for the sisters a long ass time ago. I had like another personal one that was going to be super private that I never used. And I had Lady 99 for a while when I was doing my sort of protest stuff. And I just said, fuck it, I'll just be public about my protesting.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, I've got maybe about that many just that I've had for different purposes and different organizations that I'm in. But right now I'm focusing on those two. Because I want to have something dedicated for my blog, and then something that's just like my thing that I can complain at everybody about and get overwhelmed with people posting about chipping on Supernatural.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of Supernatural chat on your Twitter this week, but I get it because the show I know is winding down. And hey, you know what? Stacey Abrams is talking about Supernatural on her Twitter, so you're in good company.
Oh yeah, no, that's cool. She's been getting some love from the cast as well. And I've had a couple of just little quick chats with some of the folks who do some good things. I've actually really started getting involved. I know this is completely different. Started getting involved with randomacts.org.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people who have been or associated with the cast organized for doing basically good charity work, but also just encouraging everyone to be a little kinder. So be kind and run me a D&D game.
Well, I have lots of kind things I could say about Stacey Abrams. I'm not even going to make it a political thing. I mean, yes, I love her politics, but just even outside of that, and even if you are, you know, in a different political mind spot, I will say I love the fact that she is like an out nerd in politics. And she's very, you know, she talks about Supernatural. Did you see that video where she was ranking all the Star Treks? And she wasn't sitting there going, well, I always like, she had her facts. She's like, I like this one because of this story and what it does. And this, I was like, okay. Not that anyone should ever have to prove.
DS9 wasn't top on there though. I don't want to hear it.
DS9 was not top. Sorry. What did she put on top? Maybe she did.
DS9
no, no, she put Voyager on top because I was like, yes, me too. I was like, that's another reason I love her. She put Voyager on top.
Voyager didn't deserve the bad rap that it got, but yeah. I still say Deep Space Nine is the best of them all.
Yeah, but no, I mean, she not, and I was going to say, not that anyone should ever have to prove her fandom, but there is something extra special about the fact that she had, like, she had deep answers. Anyway, I'm sorry, this isn't the Stacey Abrams fan club podcast. I mean, it could be, but it's OLR. Let's talk about other video games. Anything else for our gaming weeks? I think we got it all out. Let's then move on to some news. There's been a lot that's been going on in the news about new consoles and other stuff as well, right, Loki?
Yes. So, of course, more information coming out about the consoles and what they support and don't support. So one bit of information that we have is right now the PlayStation 5 doesn't support 1440p resolution. So if you have a monitor that's 1440p, well, you're just going to have to play it at 1080p instead. Which is unfortunate because I know a lot of people that are getting high refresh rate monitors may only be able to get 1440p. Like the one I got right now, I was hoping to get an HDMI 2.1 because that's what all these new consoles are. But there aren't any monitors that are HDMI 2.1 right now. So that's basically what you need to be able to do 120 frames per second and 4K at the same time. So now I can only do 4K and 60 FPS, or I could do 1440p. At 120, so that's kind of what I'm sticking with, at least on the Xbox side. But the Xbox Series X does support 1440p, so that's always good. Now, whether that may be coming to the PlayStation 5 later, possibly, because right now, according to the VP of Platform Management, Hideki Nishino, basically said that they wanted to prioritize TV support. That's why that 1440p isn't currently supported, because that's mainly a monitor format and not a TV. But later on, there's no technical reasons to be able to support that later on. So that may be something that's coming if demand requires it to. Along with that, there are some issues with some of the games that are backwards compatible that may have problems playing. Now, we talked about last week how there are some of the Assassin's Creed games that were not being supported 100%. And actually, one of those Assassin's Creed Syndicate, I believe, is one of those that does have an issue playing. It does actually run, but their shadows are kind of like strobing a bit. It's all glitched out. But of the 4,000 plus titles that are backwards compatible, they said about 115 of those are tagged as you may experience game behavior or unexpected game behavior while playing this PlayStation 4 game on your PS5 console.
So is that why Ubisoft had it? Remember that story a couple weeks ago? And we were like, maybe Ubisoft wasn't running the same version of the emulator. At least that was my theory. And Ubisoft outed all these games. It's not backwards compatible. And they pulled it. So it sounds like there may have been some like a truthiness in that, because Assassin's Creed is backwards compatible, but Syndicate specifically is backwards compatible, but it's got some flaws.
Like, for example, they talked about some of the other annoyances that you may run into. Grip, for example, you can it says that there's issues, but nothing's really been noticeable. Everybody's Golf, there's some flickering scenery graphics, mainly the trees. It could be like how that stuff is being rendered in certain engines.
Emulators, even going back to like NES emulators, have had this issue. Like, I remember Castlevania 3, the vertical scrolling levels were the biggest pain to get emulated for the longest time. Because the way those were being kind of like done was very different, and the emulators didn't know how to do it. So if you tried to play Castlevania 3 early on, back in my day in the NES emulator days, because this was college, so yes, I was using emulators and playing all sorts of stuff in them. But like, you couldn't get past, you know, the like second part of the first level of Castlevania 3 because it was a vertical scrolling part. Anyway. Emulators have always had these problems because they're emulating. They're not perfectly the hardware.
Right. So just, keep in mind that, you may run into some issues. They have a backwards compatibility page that talks about some of the issues that you may run into. But, it's not to say that they are always going to be broken. It could be that they fix them down the line. But at launch, 4,000 out of, and only having like 100 of those kind of broken, that's not bad. So, and then on top of that, though, I don't know if anyone's really asked the question about region locking, but apparently the PlayStation 5 games are also going to be region free, which I believe it was the same with the PlayStation 4. I'm kind of glad that we've moved past the whole region locking with video games. So hopefully that stays the same. But yeah, apparently it has been confirmed via their FAQs that yes, it is still region free. So that's good. I would assume, though, the same might not be able to be said about all 4K Blu-rays. I'm not sure if those are still region locked, but at least the games themselves are not.
Region locking thing of the past, right?
Well, yeah, we haven't really seen it since the PlayStation 3, I think. PlayStation 3, Xbox 360.
On Sony's side, yes. Nintendo, I think 3D, wasn't 3DS or DS? I feel like it was more recent
The Xbox 360 was region locked. The PlayStation 3, I cannot remember if that was region locked. I think maybe there might have been some games that were, some that weren't. Nintendo side, I want to say probably the Wii U. I know that their cartridge games weren't, but I don't know if the Wii U discs were region locked Obviously, I don't think the Switch games are, but I know 3DS and Nintendo DS games were not locked.
All right. Well, let's move on then. And let me get some quick chat messages here, because Bobby Blackwolf says, note that there's no Dolby Vision or Atmos in PlayStation 5, and there never will be, it seems. He does go on to say, though, that 4K UHD Blu-rays will pass through fine if you turn on Bitstream audio output in the DVD player settings menu. And that has to do with a licensing thing for that technology, probably, right? I'm assuming.
Well, yeah, because I know with Atmos, like, I have my headphones I'm wearing right now actually are Dolby Atmos, and I had to download the app, because I had to do that on PC as well. I had to download the app and put in a serial number that I got with my headphones to be able to use the Atmos part of that, or the 7.1 surround sound. But yeah, I had to do the same thing on the Series X. Thankfully, it worked without having any troubles. Like, because I was like, "Oh no, enter a serial number." I don't have that anymore. But thankfully, because I purchased it on PC, that it remembered it.
All right. Well, moving on, let's talk about something that was all over social media earlier this week when it was happening, because this was unfortunately one of those things that was kind of playing out live. And, you know, that can be both a good thing and a bad thing. Good because you can follow along, but bad because a lot of stuff kind of gets thrown in that isn't necessarily true. And that is the situation that happened with Ubisoft Montreal earlier this week. A couple days ago in the afternoon, there was a really scary situation that happened there, there was talk on social media about, oh my gosh, there's like an armed gunman that went into the building and was shooting and all of this. Well, and that's the part that social media thankfully got incorrect. Apparently, that was the type of thing that had been called in. However, the whole thing, if you hadn't heard by this point, it ended up being a fake 911 call that triggered all these events that happened on Friday. So there was a bunch of stuff that was uploaded to Twitter, and that's why all this kind of like, you know, talk about what was going on had happened from. So, some folks had been working from home because, the pandemic. Some were still in the office. So some people were tweeting like, I know those people on the roof because those are, you know, my coworkers and stuff. It was unfortunately a fake 911 call that appears to be some type of swatting event that happened, which definitely just makes us go like, it's kind of just disgusting that these swatting events still happen. Why was Ubisoft Montreal targeted? It is very easy to tie that to gaming culture, because we've seen the swatting thing happen with, you know, Twitch streams and things of that sort. I shouldn't make that assumption that it's because they're a gaming company and somebody was upset about games that they did this. Unfortunately, track record kind of makes that a safe assumption that it probably was some type of weird somebody trying to prove a point. And you might look at this and go, well, nobody was hurt. Do you know the psychological trauma this type of shit can put on people? Seriously, like, read the accounts of some people who have gone through this on their social media and stuff like this. There was definitely damage done. So this is not nobody got hurt, ha 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 type of situation. When you do this type of swatting stuff, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here with this audience, and you guys that are tuning in here are decent enough to know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. When you're doing that swatting stuff to, you know, ha ha, get a rise out of people, you are hurting. You're intending to hurt and harm people. And it's about time that the law really caught up with that and had some really severe punishments on a national or at least state level scale of how that's dealt with now, because I'm sure somebody will jump in there and say, oh, this happened in Canada. Again, I don't know how to eloquently phrase this, but if I am to make any sort of lemonade out of the lemons that is this news, the fact that it happened in Canada makes me go, well, maybe somebody will do something about this swatting thing now. You know, maybe something will happen from the Canadian government to really take a look at this issue, how it happened, why it happened, and look at never making it happen again. And then hopefully the U.S. can, you know, use it as a blueprint, and other countries too. We don't want to just, you know, focus on North America. But this swatting shit is dangerous, and it has to stop. And yeah, I don't know what else to say about that. Anybody want to add to that? I can go to our chat too. ActDeft in chat says, we know that Ubisoft isn't the best company out there, but this shouldn't happen to anyone at all. Yeah, no, the reputation and all that stuff, if this had happened to EA, Comcast, whatever, like, worst company you can think of, I would say the exact same thing. This is unacceptable, period. No one special 77 says, plus, since the police were tied up in a fake call, that was fewer cops that were unavailable for a legit call, and in a legit situation where cops weren't there, folks could have been easily hurt. You know, say a car accident had happened where people were seriously injured somewhere, you know, you're right, that takes police away from the availability to do something like that. So it's gross. Pod Culture says, even Evil G. Even Evil G. Absolutely. Anybody. Anybody meant anybody. So, anyway.
It's an attempt for a party to show power over another party.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's not just for the recipient, you know, who is definitely going to be suffering, you know, trauma from this, but the person themselves, it's indicative of serious mental health problems that need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And people have died from it.
Yeah.
Saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We heard about the guy that got shot. It was horrible. It was like the neighbor or something. I don't know. But it was horrible. I'm sure that wasn't the only one. It's so.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I don't mean to drag things down. I mean, at least we can say, OK, at least it wasn't a shooting situation. But it's not really
being
good.
Honest, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not really good news. So anyway,
not all news is good. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah. So
we're here. The news doesn't care how it makes you feel.
That's true.
The news is news, just like science is science, no matter what you believe.
That's true. So yep. I'm gonna hope this had nothing to do with gaming culture, but I'm gonna know in the back of my mind I'm wrong, and it is. So anyway,
we'll see.
Let's move on. How about something that is good news, Dark Soccer? How about something a little more lighthearted?
Well, this is what I was referring to earlier. My husband's birthday is coming up a couple of days after Thanksgiving. We often have to deal with this, and I've been racking my brain. What am I going to get him? What am I going to get him? And he's like, I found myself something, and I bought it for myself from you for my birthday. Okay, thanks. Oops. So we have the Game & Watch handheld, the new one. It is basically in the semblance of the old Game & Watch. It actually doesn't feel as hefty as an old Game & Watch, you know. But it's got like the color scheme, the branding and everything on it. But it comes with a built-in LCD screen that will play three different games. One of them is, of course, Super Mario Brothers. I had to refamiliarize myself with the controller because it feels different than playing it with the NES controller. And then there's Super Mario Brothers 2, which, as we know it, is Lost Levels, which is basically I bet you want to cry while playing Mario, the game. And then there's Ball. You remember Ball? It was, I believe, the first Game & Watch game. I don't know why I said LCD. Going back, it was the juggling game with the balls, but this time it's got Mario's face on it. Although honestly, it looks more like Luigi. But
is it the way they have like the little plates or something like that, and it's kind of moving back and forth in the different? Okay,
they're just little balls, and you get them from hand to hand.
Yeah.
Well, okay. to be honest, it is one of the Easter eggs, but there is a way to get Luigi and Ball anyway.
So. Yeah. There's actually a video now that shows every one of the Easter eggs, including the image galleries and the Yoshi screen, and how to, you know, get a warp pipe and everything, and the Bowser fights. But at any rate, because it is a Game & Watch, it also has the clock built in, and the clock has different Super Mario Brothers scenery playing through it. I don't know why. Then I'm sorry, I got like a little tongue-tied for a moment.
Awesome.
But basically, you know, the time gives you the Super Mario theme clock, and it kind of ticks along with it. And it changes from day to night with the hours.
Is that something that's kind of just meant to be running like on your shelf full time? since they have like
the
clock
thing?
So. Oh, okay.
Well, was your Game & Watch meant to run all the time?
No, but it's been 30 years.
Yeah, but with the Game & Watch is, you know, if you didn't have a watch with you, you could use the watch on your Game & Watch.
Okay, I see that.
It's a game and a watch. But at any rate, you know, and I'm going to say this, you know, it's neat, you know, it actually is a fun little nod. It's definitely a novelty sort of thing. And I still thought it was hilarious that IGN ranked it higher than the PS5 and the Xbox.
Why did they do that besides for clicks? Why? What was their justification in that?
I think fun factor.
Okay.
Yeah. But at any rate, you know, it's a really cool little thing. It's got some nods. You can look at it. You know, it's fun. You can play Super Mario Brothers. The screen is bigger than the Game Boy Micro. So, I mean, hey. It honestly, though, and this is just me, maybe it felt like it was, what's a good word for it? I guess not super hefty. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it felt really lightweight. I'm not going to say cheap, but it did feel really lightweight. And the, you know, the buttons were, you know, light. Everything was just light about it. And I mean, it is pretty much a gimmick. It's a fun gimmick. But honestly, I kind of want one of those little Game Gears more than this. But Dan wanted this, and Dan got this, and it's his birthday. So what I want doesn't matter. But I think it is pretty cool. I'm waiting to see what the hackers do to it, you know.
It's funny you bring that up, because Bob Coffey in chat says, it'll be interesting to see if someone hacks it to play other NES games. My understanding is,
Bobby said it already was.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I saw this on our Discord over at vognetwork.com/discord. I think that's where I saw it. Somebody had posted that it already has been. Somebody got a hacked Mario ROM on there that actually will show the message hacked. So yeah, it's happening.
I wasn't even looking at chat until you said that Bob Coffey said something.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a really neat little thing, you know. I'm glad we have it. You know, it's really cute. And it's definitely, you know, we're sort of stuck in our hardcore Nintendo fandomism right now, you know. I mean, Dan just the other day says, I don't want another system that isn't a Nintendo system. I'm like, yeah, same kind of right now. But, and so he was right. The next system he bought was a Nintendo system. A little gimmicky, tiny Nintendo system. But it's cute, and it's great, and it's a little fun thing. Yeah. And it was kind of fun playing Super Mario Brothers on the Game & Watch, you know, even though it's not quite the same size as an old Game & Watch. But yeah, it's cool. Yeah. And, you know, if you want, you know, just something kind of fun to have on the go with a little nostalgia, I mean, you could do worse.
Yeah, I have to admit, I totally forgot that thing was even coming out with, you know, all the hysteria around the new consoles and trying to order them, until I saw like a couple of people on Twitter were posting their pictures of the box saying, look what I got instead. And this is kind of like the same type of thing. I'm like, oh yeah, Nintendo was launching a console this week too.
Put up a picture on my Twitter.
But yeah, I mean, and all kidding aside about Nintendo's big console entry into the next generation, obviously the Switch is still going to sell like crazy this holiday, because not only is it the Switch, but it's got a pretty robust library of games. So there's still going to be an audience of people that are going to want to play things like Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart, and so forth. And now, of course, the Mario Kart Live, as we've seen, is going to probably be a big toy that a lot of kids want and so forth. So yeah, and then the Game & Watch is a nice little entry to the collectibles. Kind of interesting to see that's where Nintendo is going from the NES Classic and the SNES Classic. Everybody was like, where's the 64 Classic or the Game Boy Classic? Well, we got a Game & Watch Classic, which maybe isn't on the top of people's lists, but it's maybe something to hold us over for another year or two until one of those other things we talked about are going. So
thinking that they're really trying to use that nostalgia to bank.
Of course.
To it's almost like, and maybe I'm a little bit off base on this one, but I'm wondering if it's sort of like Nintendo's fundraising right now.
I think our show got cut off right before this story came up last week, but we did have a story on the list about how the Switch... No, I think you might have got to it. I don't remember, but there was a story about how the Switch has outsold the NES already.
Yeah.
So there's more Switches out.
We were about to get cut off, so I just threw it in.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. That whole thing was there. So the Switch is still selling like crazy, so I don't think they need to fundraise. But certainly there's going to be the question of, well, we are a publicly traded company. How can we make our investors more money? And that's the answer. More money.
If they did a Kirby one, I would buy it. Mm. It'd have to have like a lot of Kirby games on it. I just want the game in Kirby.
Tiger Claw in chat says, you think they'll do another Game & Watch of another game? And Orange Wright echoes the Kirby answer, but also says, I think they're definitely going to make more Game & Watches. Isn't a major Zelda anniversary coming up? Yes, I believe next year would be 30, because this year is 35 for Mario, right? So next year is 35 for Zelda or something like that. I could be off. But I think Zelda's coming up. And I wouldn't be surprised, though, honestly. You know what they want to release for Zelda's 35th anniversary? Breath of the Wild 2. That's probably going to be next holiday's game. And I think that's plenty big enough of a Zelda anniversary treat. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyhow, let's move on. We have more stories. And Loki, a big one in gaming culture right now, right?
Oh, yes. Fun times when we're talking about the rights of music industry. Or music holders, so the RIAA and MPAA. So anyways, Twitch, you may remember they had a whole DMCA fiasco where they were taking down people's channels because they had, you know, copyrighted music in their clips. And of course, they had really terrible tools for not even necessarily identifying which, you know, video you may have had that. But basically, kind of like this nuclear delete everything option was one of the ways to go. Or, you know, you could possibly face, you know, copyright strikes and your channel being deleted. So it was only like a mass deletion tool. And they only really gave folks, you know, a few days notice about that. So, of course, they came out and apologized, you know, saying, you know, it's basically, you know, we understand that you're rightly upset with the only option we provided was a mass deletion tool for clips, and that we only gave you 3 days notice to use this tool. We could have developed more sophisticated user-friendly tools a while ago. That we didn't is on us. Yeah, no kidding. You think you live in the same universe that YouTube's in? You see all the stories about how, you know, all the copyright stuff they have to go through, and you thought, that sucks for them. And not thinking at all about your own company, it's kind of stupid. And so, of course, they said that was a mistake. And we could have provided creators with a longer time period to address their VOD and clip libraries. That was a miss as well. We're truly sorry for these mistakes, and we'll do better. Except, you know, they're not. Because that's never going to be the case. It's never going to be the end. So, of course, what's going on now? Well, the same stuff you normally see on YouTube. So, for example, there was... someone by the name of Mikhail Ronan, who said that they had only music they've had on their streams was in-game World of Warcraft music played by the game itself. Yet they've got muted audio on their latest VOD because apparently in Shenzhen Village, there is the copyrighted music banger called Medium Wind Storm with Gus, Whistles and Low Rumble from sound effects from Hollywood Edge Sound Effects Library. First off, I don't think that those should ever be part of the copyright DMCA, you know, system anyways. It's sound effects, especially if it's...
Well, okay. I don't want to spoil, but I have to say there is another story in the news this week that is exactly this.
And for the record, sound effects actually do require a bit of engineering and design. So, yes, it is somebody's intellectual property.
Yeah, I can't support... It's a weird thing. I don't think I can support the fact that, you know, the sound effects people shouldn't be entitled to their thing. But if
that's
it's
like...
I feel like if it's already in the umbrella of the game that you license, especially when the game has said, we do not care if you broadcast our game... then at some point there's got to be a happy medium there where the streamer is absolved of those incidental sound effects that happen in the background. Now, if a streamer brings in their own soundboard and their own sound effects and starts playing that stuff,
different. Yeah.
That's different. And absolutely, I think that's fine. Because, and this is why, honestly, like, I'm going to be honest, and this isn't what you guys want to hear, but I have always been like, I'm not going to play Spotify in the background of my streams. And I'll watch streams where people do it, and I don't care what other people do, but I feel like y'all are on borrowed time. Like, they're going to come in and stop that. And sure enough, here we are. And people are like, what? I couldn't play Spotify about, I couldn't play all, I couldn't play Madonna while I was playing my games. No, like I felt like that whole stuff was on borrowed time. Well, however, I do think that if the game says you can stream us online, then the stuff that's in the game, and it makes that stuff like Guitar Hero and music-based games in this really weird gray area. I get it. But I'm not surprised at the music part of it. The sound effect stuff gets a little bit tricky, and we've seen on YouTube where this gets abused. So I also, because right. I don't want to say make it sound like, oh, I agree in every single instance. No, no, no. There's cases where somebody is, you know, and some third party comes in and sound matches sound. This happened to one of my YouTube videos, and I contested it, and it took forever. But it was one of those things where it's the principle of the thing, you know?
Right.
I feel like there has to be a way to strike back against incorrect claims.
Well, I've seen some where they've actually, there's been a guy whispering or something, like that was the clip. They made it a private clip and it got copyright claimed for something. He's like, dude, that was my own voice. That's, like, yeah, I don't understand how it's being copyright claimed.
That's why when I'm getting ready to start doing mine, I'm going to be doing all the music myself and with my own copyright notice on my YouTube channel.
Well, that's what's funny is, like, there was a thing I saw, a video talking about, like, the copyright system in YouTube and stuff, and apparently the way someone's gotten around it is they make a really terrible and well, not necessarily terrible, but, like, a really unique intro or extra song or outro song, and you actually submit that to one of those copyright claim companies that will actually go out there and flag that, and so all of your videos are technically copyright claimed by yourself. So it's like, two companies can't claim the same video allegedly, or like the way the money system works, it doesn't allow it to flag it or something like that. But basically it's not demonetizing. And actually this works also for allegedly monetizing unmonetizable things, because you're basically a copyright claiming yourself. So you're kind of abusing the system. I don't feel so bad for the system, to be honest, considering how broken it is, but that is one way around it that you could do, which I thought was interesting. Also, the copyright deadlock that Jim Sterling, of course, famously created was pretty funny, where two companies fight over the copyright claim for one video, and technically two different companies can't claim the same content because no one is the owner. Then you can't say it's my content, and then the other company says, oh, but that's my content as well. It doesn't work that way.
The government is going to have to step in and fix this and modernize these rules. And, you know, I don't think that necessarily suddenly happens just because we're going to have a change in the administration, because, you know, there's so many other things I think they're looking at and so forth. However, I will say this. One thing we talked about at length a couple weeks ago was the whole, like, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got into live streaming and was doing that Among Us stream that essentially became a huge, like, political awareness rally that happened on Twitch, right? And there were other people from other political parties watching that, like Justin Amash, who wanted to kind of leverage something like that for himself and so on and so on. So I think as you start to see more politicians get into this, just wait for the day that AOC gets a copyright strike on one of her things. That's what it's going to take.
The whole copyright system needs to be, like, redone. It's just been abused the hell by Disney and other companies, RIAA. They have, like, these, I mean, they really should be accounting for fair use. Like, for example, one of the examples of another music thing that was taken down was a cover of a song that someone was covering, and they copyright striked it for the original, or someone using like a 5-second clip to make a remix or something like that, or a 5-second clip of a song for some sort of, you know, comedic effect or something, and the whole video gets copyrighted for a 5-second clip. That just seems ridiculous.
Phoenix 7726 says they won't, in the same way Twitter never banned Trump. They can see that coming a mile away, except this, when they're running bots and automated shit, wait until one of them gets caught up in it. Like the Twitter situation's very different because Twitter has had to put a flag on the account that basically says, you know, never disable or ban this. Although somebody did, remember that? That happened for like 3 hours.
Well, it's just temporarily. And it's only because it's, you know, an official channel. Well, not really supposed to be an official channel, but it's basically it's a government communication media or something like that now.
Oh, so could the Army recruitment Twitch get struck?
Well, no, because see, basically, like, for example, they can't ban people from their channels because it's technically like a government entity.
No, same I'm saying with, if they play the wrong game, could the Army get a copyright strike?
I don't know.
That's, I'm telling you.
Do you really want to anger the Army? I mean,
that's how this, and in a way, I kind of do hope it happens, and not in the way you think I'm saying that. I'm hoping it happens because that is what's going to get the government to move on this stuff and, you know, modernize the copyright law and all that stuff. So anyway, all right. But we can't fix copyright law tonight on OLR. But just be careful on Twitch. I don't know what else to say about that. The sound effect thing is really scary, and because you know you don't know what games you thought the creators are totally cool with you playing on stream, and then it's like, gotcha, you know, it's that part's a little bit scary.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
I get it. Like, it just seems like a stretch. Like, you know, like if you're licensing sound effects like that, you know that you're dealing with certain types of clientele. It's not like I don't see. How you, it's wind sounds, so obviously, you know, an AI is not gonna it's not gonna know if that exactly matches that. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it makes mistakes, and even like I've seen stuff, you know, on YouTube, for example, where they're just filming something outside in a park and it gets copyrighted claim for the wind sounds. It's like, dude, like,
yeah, it's too much. Too much. There needs to be, and honestly, my idea, you know, I'm not a politician. My idea is, and I've been saying this since the very beginning, there needs to be a way to have an effective counterclaim where the claimant gets striked, so that if they are filing too many claims and they overdo it too many times, they lose the ability to be able to do it.
That's
what needs to be in there.
Or better yet, that they should basically... If you're claiming something, you can only claim the section of the video that it's in. So if I play a 5-second clip, you're not claiming the whole video. You're claiming the 5-second portion of that video. And right now, even with YouTube, and sometimes YouTube is a little more specific about what it is that someone's claiming. A lot of times those claims could be, it's supposed to be specific. Like, this is the section where there's the offending material. But it's not. A lot of times they're missing that. And that is, I think, something that's supposed to be important about the DMCA. It's supposed to, those strikes are supposed to include that. And they're also supposed to consider fair use. But because these corporations know that there's nothing that you're going to be able to do, they don't necessarily have to use fair use. I mean, we've seen people use DMCA strikes to take down videos they just don't like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And use it as an excuse. So it's a broken system.
All right. Well, let me move on. I'm going to get to our next story because I don't want the show to go all night. But let's talk about a bunch of money changing hands somewhere else. And that is because Take-Two, who, of course, is the publisher behind, you know, Grand Theft Auto, Borderlands. You might have heard of them. I think Loki's a little bit of a fan. Take-Two has acquired Codemasters. Codemasters, of course, is a big company out of Britain that makes a lot of like racing games. I believe Dirt 5 is kind of their latest and greatest big title. They're going to join the other labels that Take-Two oversees, like 2K Games, which is, you know, like the 2K Sports and the Civilization and all that, Rockstar Games, and Private Division. So Codemasters is going to be there. No word yet as to, is there going to be any restructuring or any moving around and things like that. that. In a comment to Business Wire, the boss at Take-Two, Strauss Zelnick, said that the racing output the Codemaster does is going to fit well with the publishing giant's existing sports fare. Codemasters will benefit from the distribution and marketing at Take-Two. So it does kind of sound like it could be a mutually beneficial situation, and I don't really see that, like, these games are going to go anywhere. They're going to suddenly put Codemasters on, like, a different type of game, but, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, it is Take-Two. Let's not confuse things. I like Rockstar Games. I don't necessarily like Take-Two.
Okay,
Take
fair.
Take-Two is just about as bad as EA and Activision. They are going to monetize the crap out of this stuff. Well, good for Codemasters, at least. You know, that's a little bit more exposure, I guess, for their games. But it's just going to be a mess. I mean, just look at WWE and, you know, NBA 2K to get an idea of what Take-Two likes to do with their franchises. I mean, so it's... Yeah. Best of luck to them.
All right. Good luck. And may the odds be ever in your favor. All right. Moving on a different note, Dark Sakura.
Well, you know, I like to talk about video games being used for good. In Cambridge, the Cambridge researchers actually put together a game that's supposed to help people online learn how to debunk fake news. I hate using the term fake news, but meant to debunk disinformation, how to recognize legitimate information versus misinformation. Game is called Harmony Square, and it's just a simple web game. You basically are shown a news story. It has like four different decision-based chapters to help you master these different techniques on how to spread fake news and troll. And then you will you will master those techniques and learn then what it is that's prompting people to believe these things, and for you to evaluate your own feelings and your own triggers to make yourself think more critically. And it actually works. They tested it with 700 participants, and then they had them rate headlines and social media posts prior to this, and then they had half of them play Harmony Square and the other half to play Tetris. And after it was
I'm just laughing, giggling at the control group in that case.
And so they had them do it again with different headlines. And then with their conclusion, I'm going to quote, the perceived reliability of misinformation of the participants who played Harmony Square reduced to 16%. And their willingness to share those things reduced by 11%. And even so, I mean, that's, you know, saying that if that with that population split down the middle, 63% of that half that played it would find misinformation significantly less reliable. This is actually from the report, compared to 37 of the left half to navigate online information without the inoculation of Harmony Square. And you can go to harmonysquare.game and try it for yourself.
Interesting. And I'm sorry, I might have missed it at the beginning. Is this a game for kids or adults, or like all ages?
Everybody.
Okay. It's just, yeah. I when I hear something like this, I'm kind of like, this is the type of stuff I hope they're teaching kids in like high school or junior high. You know, this is stuff, like, unfortunately, that's where our society has evolved. And I know we were playing things like Oregon Trail and Number Munchers and Math Blasters and stuff when we were younger. And I think there's still room for games like that. But like, this is the type of thing I hope they're using in school, because unfortunately in this day and age, that is not a skill that is learned by everybody, is how to not fall for bullshit. And there's a lot of bullshit on Facebook and insert social media platform here. So it's, No One Special 77 in chat makes a little joke saying Cambridge needs to make 13 games to teach folks how to point out clickbait articles. Game number 7 will surprise you. That's pretty good. No one special in your history of joke making here on this program. That's one of the better ones. So kudos to you. All right. But I do love and Darkstalker, I'm glad you brought that story up, because I do love that idea of gamification of a topic we need to be educating more about and talking about, for sure. So whether whatever term you want to use for it, you know, bullshit on social media is something we need to, as a society, get stronger in dealing with. So,
well, the other thing too is that I think of it like this, that maybe it's a little bit sad that we have to use a game to teach, because people won't by themselves educate themselves. Does that make sense? People don't want to be educated. They want to be entertained.
Right.
And that is honestly a social disease.
Well, I'll just say, since I've done a lot with educating over the years, I can see how games can sometimes work as an application method, because, you know, some people are going to learn by listening to the lecture. Some people are going to learn by visually, but with pretty charts and graphs, or reading it in a book, something with their eyes. But a lot of people learn by doing. And I kind of feel like games, I mean, yes, they're games, but they're a way to learn by doing. Especially when it comes to things that are more like soft skills, as opposed to put widget A on top of widget B, you know, in that type of application, like a game of this sort can be an application of it.
When you present a game with the purpose of educating covertly, people aren't going into it expecting to learn something.
Mm.
But when you are in, you know, a classroom environment and you're doing supplemental, you know, exercises or games, people are there knowing that they're there to learn, and that this is, I'll be honest, I hate in-class games. I just want you to give me the information, let me learn it, and let me go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so funny because all of my trainers where I work know this about me now, and they're just like, did you already finish the modules? Like, I finished all of the day's modules. Can I finish? but back to that, you know, some people do need it, but when they know that they're being educated, it's a different thing. If it is a game presented, hey, play this, it's fun, and then they learn something from it that it's not what they think the primary purpose of it is, then, and you know, if you like, hey, this thing is a problem and we need to learn how not to do it. If you give that to them, they're going to be like, I guess, I don't care. Versus, hey, here's this game to play. Oh, wow, I learned something from this game. I didn't expect it to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a completely different thing. And like, yeah, I'm a learn by doing myself. I just hate those exercises because I know that that's all it is. I would rather you just give me the information and let me figure it out.
I get the perspective of I might pleasantly learn something while playing a game. Like, take a game like Civilization. You might actually learn something about history and world leaders playing that game, but that's not why you signed up to play. If that makes sense. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on and let's go to Loki with our next story.
Yeah. So this is pretty cool. Like, I know they did the similar things with different Valve games. I can remember like Portal and Portal 2. Had these in-game commentaries, but now Half-Life Alyx also shares that, as they've now received 3 hours of commentary in that game, so you can actually check it out within the game itself, and it kind of talks about the behind the scenes and a development process of the game itself, including 147 points of interest to find, and talking about the hands-on nature of their narration, and it's also available in several different languages if you want subtitles, so that's pretty awesome as well. Pretty cool. I still haven't finished this game, so I really do need to go back and play more Half-Life Alyx, because it was pretty awesome, but I do like the commentaries that were in there as well. They're always very interesting.
Okay, I was going to ask, because I have to admit, I don't know if I've played a video game with the commentary on, and I was kind of curious in opening this question to the chat as well. How many of you have played through video games with the commentary on? So you have done this, Loki?
Yeah, I played through a little bit of Portal, I think. And I think that Portal 2 had the same thing, but you can actually go through that and check it out. And they have these like little icons on the screen that you go up to, and it talks about, like, especially with the original Portal, like different puzzle designs and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool.
I've watched a couple of movies with commentary tracks, but very few. And I've always found that they're almost always better if there's more than one person. When there's just one person, it's not always the most exciting thing in the world. It depends on who it is. And I feel like some people don't want to be there, but others do. So it really changes that. No One Special 77 says, when I still had a PS3 and the Orange Box for that, I tried the commentary for that. Like, I've probably, like, tried it, but I don't think I've ever, like, actually said, ooh, there's a commentary track out for this game. I want to try it. So it's interesting. SG100 Matt says, I haven't experienced this enough. I get the sense I would do that on a second playthrough. You know what? If something like Mass Effect had a commentary track, I'd probably play through with it. But there's so much. That game is so long. I'm not sure if a commentary track would really work, but it'd be interesting. So, all right.
It would be cool if, like, games like that let you create a custom commentary track. Like, we could create one in-game and, like, store different, like, clips here. Like, hey, you probably don't want to go around the corner. There's a jump scare over there. Just beware. Jump scare right there.
Well, that's what you do in Demon's Souls. You leave the little pieces of paper. Or at least, I think you still do that in the original.
Yeah, I understand that.
Anyway. All right. Moving on. I'm sure a lot of you saw this floating around social media this week. And it's like the ridiculous, like, what the hell are you doing with these consoles? And so in this case, did everybody see that video of the Xbox Series X where smoke was coming out of the top of the vent? And it was that YouTube that was like, OMG, my Xbox Series X on launch day caught fire. Well, you can very clearly see in the corner, there's smoke going into the Xbox that then comes out of the holes on the top. Because, yes, somebody actually was blowing vape smoke into the vent at the bottom, which, of course, smoke rises. Fun fact, science. And it came to the top.
It's also because they developed that console to have nice airflow. So yes. It just sucks it up and spits it right out.
Which is why the PlayStation 5 is also shaped the way it is that it's to help with the airflow. So, you know, both these consoles with their, you know, beefy parts that are doing all the fancy ray tracing and everything have to have really good airflow in it. So honestly, the vape smoke technique is showing, wow, the airflow is really good on these systems.
And I like the comment, though, that they had on, like, I can't believe I have to tell you this, but don't blow vape smoke into your Xbox Series X.
Xbox actually put out a tweet a few days ago on November the 11th. So it was actually the day after the launch, where they said, we can't believe we have to say this, but please do not blow vape smoke into your Xbox Series X. But that also goes all into, like, the fake news type of thing we were just bringing up, is that this person only did it to get clicks on OMG. And that can have a negative impact on Xbox, because somebody's going to believe it. Like, you got to see this video where a dude's Microsoft thing caught fire.
People like chasing clout.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and as mentioned in chat by Bobby. Yeah, and also, vape smoke can hurt your Xbox. Like, let's not forget that part, is that, you know, there's what makes the vape smoke. There's a little bit of water in there and stuff, right? You should not be putting those on computer parts.
and I mean, we should probably also ignore, obviously, I didn't watch any videos like this, but they're always out there. There's always the people that are smashing these new systems when they came out because, you know, four clicks, because haha, you can't get one. I got one and now I'm going to break it. You know, it's like, oh, no.
Whatever happened to the video where, here's my brand new Xbox Series X, but here's my knife. Aha, it's a cake. Like, I thought that's where we were at in 2020. Where's my Xbox Series X is actually a cake. Like, where's that? Or PlayStation 5.
That would have been the twist. Like, oh, hey, look, my Xbox Series X is on fire. It's because it's a cake. No, unfortunately, we're not there yet.
I don't know why I'm obsessed with those cake videos that are like, surprise, it's a cake. And I know it's a cake going in, but I'm always kind of like, wow, these are like really well done cakes, you know? All right. Let's go back to a simpler time when, in fact, it was not a cake. It was just a game. The classic game of the week.
It wasn't a cake.
It was a lie. Darksoccer. Darksoccer is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you should be checking out this game this week. And this is, oh man, you've got a classic tonight. It's one of those ones where it's like, how has this never been picked before? Yet again, here
Isn't
we are.
Is that what I texted you?
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's why I'm saying it again.
What's funny is I was describing this to Dan as the game where you run around in pajamas and shoot people's livers and spleens.
Uh-huh.
Because that's kind of what they look like.
It is.
So the classic game of the week is Alien Syndrome. So it is a running gun. It was developed by Sega, and it came out in the arcades in 1987. So basically, you have two soldiers that you play as, one named Ricky and one Mary. And they go through this levels that will have eight-way scrolling, and you have to rescue your comrades who are being held by aliens who, well, they look like spleens and livers. To me, green and pink, very pink looking organ meat. Anyway, after you rescue a certain number of hostages, an exit will open and you can go through to fight, you know, the boss for the level, the end of level guardian, as this likes to say. And then when you've defeated it, then you're able to go on to the next stage. And it does allow two players simultaneous, and you can do pickups to assist the character, get different weapons, get maps of the level. And, you know, it's a very, very simple game, but people can be kind of all up in arms about versions of it. The game had different ports. In 1988, its first series of ports were on the Sega Master System, the MSX, the Amiga, Atari ST, the Amstrad CPC, Commodore 64, and the Famicom or NES that was published by Tengen because Nintendo would grant the license. There were later ports. There was the ZX Spectrum in 1989, Game Gear in 1992, and, oh gosh, I wish I owned one of these, a Sharp X68000 in 1992, which was the only arcade perfect port. Because, I mean, it was a fucking Sharp X6800, what would you expect? Honestly, it was just like, it was sort of that era of, you know, of games, right? Where it kind of had just like that almost minimalist kind of music to it, and it was kind of simple, but a little bit more complex than the other things, you know? It was just a really cool game. It was listed as as the third most successful arcade unit by Game Machine in Japan. It was listed that in 1987 in their article on it. The original version was also reviewed by Computer and Video Games magazine in 87. It was called one of the most gripping games that had been played in months, and it was very reminiscent of Alien or aliens, I should say. I mean, I honestly see more in common with Alien than aliens, but hey. And it also, the Master System version was actually given really, really high ratings as well. So the game did get an upgrade for the PS2 Sega Ages 2500 series. It was brought over in the U.S. in the Sega Classics Collection. However, it was rumored for the European version to get a lower age certificate. They upgraded the controls. They gave it polygon graphics, analog controls. And they did include the original game as an unlockable in Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection. The thing is that sadly, the Sega Ages version is not very good. It really is not very good. There was a sequel, also called Alien Syndrome, that was released on Wii and PSP in 2007. And so there you go. Alien Syndrome, you know, shoot the alien-headed thing, shoot the livers and, you know, spleens that try to come at you. It's kind of gauntlet-y, you know, with aliens and spleens. So there you go.
All right. Sorry, I stepped away for a second, but I'm back.
How dare, you?
Yes, Alien Syndrome, a game that I played this on the NES, I think. I remember the Tengen cart for this and playing that. So, and it was hard, I remember, but maybe I'm better at games now. I don't know.
I think that we may be. And now, this is actually something I'm going to go a little bit into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it may not necessarily be a better or worse. Our perception's different. And we're going to try to do one thing one way when we're a kid, but when you go back and play it when you're older, you sometimes try to follow that old instinct, but you think something else is going to make sense. And I think that's just a difference in gaming as a mature gamer.
That's very true. You know, something like Mega Man is very much a game about patterns, right? Like, you've often talked about your ability to play a certain section of Mega Man 2.
Old-ass ability.
Yeah, like blindfolded, because it's really just a game about memorizing patterns, if you think about it, but being able to execute those patterns perfectly. And I think some of that is probably true with what I'm watching here on Aliens. It's been a long time since I played this game, and what I'm watching in the footage here is I'm like, it seems like it's just patterns. Like, this person knows exactly where they're running, exactly what they're shooting, and there's like a pattern thing to it. Before
I didn't
maybe
say
the full...
it was task play.
Yeah. Maybe, but.
But I mean, this is still the thing too. Is that with the older games like this, they're a lot of them were patterns. Or you know, there's not really as much I'd say. Programming real estate to have a more complicated AI in games like this.
Good point.
Yeah, so, and it doesn't look like, and as far as I'm aware, I don't think this particular game has a whole lot of RNG to deal with short of boss battles.
Alright, well, a real classic there. Your classic game of the week, Alien Syndrome, originally in the arcade and then pretty much everywhere else at the time. And that large list that our Sakura read us earlier. All right. Well, let's get into some rapid fire news and travel around the world. And we'll look at world release dates right after. But first, some rapid fire news. Loki, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so there's lots of fun news regarding Sam & Max this week, including a brand new remaster that's going to be coming to PC and Switch this December. So Sam & Max Save the World Remastered. Looks pretty awesome, and I'd like some more Sam & Max. And with that, I'm probably going to get some more Sam & Max, because they're going to be coming to VR as well with Sam & Max. This time it's virtual, and it's a brand new VR game that's coming out as well in early 2021. So I am definitely going to be picking that up. And then
I believe Bobby Blackwolf is a big fan of this news too.
Yes,
these are some of his favorite things all coming together.
And then, of course, like a lot of news, I'm going to bring up another game title. And, of course, it's going to be, this time not delayed, but we at least know when it's coming out. So that's going to be Deathloop, which is going to be coming out May 21st, 2021. And they are charging $60 instead of $70. I didn't really realize that was a thing that originally they were going to charge $70 for it. I know that Activision and Take-Two, two of the evilest companies known to man, are charging $70. Well, actually, I should say Sony is doing the same thing as well. Charging $70 for their games. Hopefully that doesn't stick, but at least we know that it's going to be not that. It's going to be $60 instead. It looks like a great game. It's still only on PlayStation, though. That's it.
All right. Well, let's talk about Fall Guys. Are y'all still playing Fall Guys? Well, some new costumes might bring you back to take another look, and it's a tie-in with the Untitled Goose Game, or Asshole Goose Game, as I still call it. Honk. The crossover event is going to be happening on November 13th. And they did a whole Twitch stream where you could actually see the costumes early. And I think they actually had like staff people like dressed up as the geese. So that's really silly. But yeah, so that actually, I'm sorry, November 13th would have been Friday. So it's already in the game now. So you can check that out. That is also the launch of season 2.5 that just happened this past week. There is now a big fan level for that. There's some mixed up rounds as well. And now a hammer called Lil Yeety. Because the hammer, if it hits you, you're gonna go yeet.
I haven't played this in a while. I'm gonna have to go back.
They've been doing some cute little upgrades to it. It's probably something worth checking out if you haven't seen it in a while. So check that out.
Do your kids
do that yeet? No. I hear that's a big thing with kids.
Yes, the kids do that. Do they play Fall Guys? No, they're on to Among Us. Well, at least my oldest son's on Among Us and still Roblox. Okay. His thing now, what he's been doing is he's been making, like, I don't know if they're YouTube intros, but, like, intros for people using Scratch. So he's making animations in Scratch now, which is kind of cool.
Wow. Your kid's doing that?
Yeah, that's what he's been doing on his free time.
Does your kid want to make a new OLR intro? At least the visuals. We have the music, but...
I don't know, but, like...
It's better than just me panning the camera around the studio.
I'm sure we can get someone to do that.
I want your kid to do it. It'd be funny. All right. Why not? Grow everything else in house here. All right. Anyhow, moving on. Let's get into, this is a great follow-up from a previous episode. So sometimes we discover amazing games through reading through the release dates. And I have an update for you on Alpaca Ball. Alpaca Ball All-Stars is going to be getting a physical release here on this side of the pond. It came out already in like Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore, and so forth. We're going to be getting a release here as well. Badland Publishing is going to do it. You can get a collector's edition with a cap, a game soundtrack in CD format, and, of course, you better have this in a game called Alpaca Ball, a little stuffed alpaca. Alpaca. So, March 2021 is when that's coming out. Amazing. All right, let's move on. Pixelpaca says, thank you for keeping us updated on Alpaca Ball news. You're welcome. We are Orange Lounge Radio, your source for Alpaca Ball news. Phoenix 7726 says, we need President Cat 2. You know, as an aside, you might remember years ago, it was 4 years ago during the last election, I think, we had the guy on who made Cat President, which is on Steam. We had him on the show because we thought it was funny that somebody actually made a game about cats and presidents, though, of course, he'd never heard this show. I mean, who can blame him? Hardly anyone has. So what I want to say, though, is that he did come out with, just in the past couple of months, Cat President 2, which just in time for the 2020 election was out. And I want to say, because I follow him on Twitter, I want to say his Twitter just said that they did like an extra update recently. Was it to add the Four Seasons landscaping thing? I think it might have been. I think they added some type of parody on the landscaping
thing. Yeah, so Cat President 2, a political revolution.
Yes. So free plug for that guy. What was I can't, the guy's name, I think, was Paul.
It was Rock.
I remember, Rock. I remember that was funny. But free plug for Cat President 2. We love our indie developers. Dark Tetsuya says, you know, Jordan got out of the gaming industry, so I don't know what even happened to President Cat IP. OLR is willing to buy the President Cat IP. Just, I want to throw that out there. We don't have a lot, but you guys have been very generous with your bits and subs, so I'll tell you what. I'm willing to pay $20 for the President Cat license. I'll just give it to YYR or even Oa Rock if they want it. But yes, we're looking for that, please. Or wouldn't that specifically be Rena? Because we were the ones that said Jamie specifically was one that said President Cat, because it's really
it was
Boss
Cat.
Yeah, it was a joke.
Yeah, it's more like the delinquent girl leader boss.
Yeah,
and I was like, I was trying to wrap my head around what it meant. I was like, president? President Cat? No. Because I knew Sukibon, you know, because it's like a whole subculture.
No, so. It was beautiful the way it worked. It's the only time the show has ever been famous, Jamie, so kudos to you. Oh, that and the Katamari thing. So, you know, we need a stunt. It's been like 14 years. Can't we? Where's our fucking stunt to get us famous again? Hold on. Let me go get my vape pen. All right. Anyway.
I'll have to think of something, I guess.
All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Make a game, Loki.
Oh, okay. I'll get right on that.
Thank you. It's about time.
A stunt game.
All right. Let's
bring us notoriety.
All that from the alpaca ball. Moving on. Dark Soccer's got some rapid fire news for us.
Hold on. Yeah, I do. So
yes, no, I'm sorry to interrupt. Thanks. So this is important. It's yes, the patch 105 for the fur seasons.
All right. Thank you for that. Well, all right. Sorry, Jamie.
So Konami Style, which is Konami's record label, is doing a 10-disc compilation series called Music from Konami Arcade Shooting. God, I want this. It's got 10 discs, and the first one is Morning Music, Twin B, Gradius, Salamander, Life Force, Flak Attack. Disc 2 is Ajax, Gradius 2, Thundercross. 3 is Gradius 3, Proteus. 4 is Trigon, Detana, Twin B, Thundercross 2. Disc 5 is Zexus, Gokujo, Parodius. 6 is Twin B, Yahoo, Salamander 2. 7 is Sexy, Parodius. 8 is Tobe, Polystars, and Solar Assault Revised. 9 is Gradius 4. Ultimadius and Finalizer, and 10 disc is bonus tracks and arranged tracks. Yes, somebody buy that for me, please.
I specifically wanted you to talk about that tonight because I wanted that reaction of, I want it.
Well, and you know, the thing is that people go, oh, why isn't it digital? Because digital music does not sell as well in Japan as physical media. So, okay. Also, for people who are still into Pokemon Sapphire, a fish beat Pokemon Sapphire after 3,195 hours. So basically, they have fish swimming around and they use motion tracking on them. So these fish beat Pokemon. Why are we reporting this?
Because it's that awkward moment when a fish has more gamer credibility than I do.
Well, basically, I think it's also to demonstrate, you know, I like actually this particular article brings it up because it was the first thing I was thinking of was the infinite monkey theorem that states if you have a monkey hitting keys on a typewriter for an infinite amount of time, it'll eventually type out a Shakespeare play.
That was all that also goes back to the Twitch Plays Pokemon phenomenon from a few years ago was in that exact same thing was cited the whole. And I've heard it also as the broken clock is right twice a day type of thing. It's that same type of theory, but on a much larger scale. So interesting. All right. Let's move on and travel around the world and check out some release dates of some games that your fish might beat very soon or in 3000 days or whatever it took. Loki, let's start in the U.S.
All right, so in the U.S., we've got Bubble Bobble 4 Friends, The Baron is Back on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. We have Serious Sam Collection on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Sniper Elite 4 on Nintendo Switch. Bridge Constructor The Walking Dead on iOS, Android, PC, Mac, and Linux.
I'm sorry, I'm going to cut Loki off because he cut Jamie off earlier, but this chat comment is worth reading. Sia sure. Tiberian chat says, it was the best of times, it was the blurst of times. That's a Simpsons joke, isn't it? I know it. There, and it's that whole thing with the monkey and the typewriter. They're typing something and that's what he pulls out. It was the best of times, it was the blurst of times. Aw.
Yeah, I remember that.
Look, I don't even really. I probably haven't watched Simpsons in like 20 years, and yet I recognize that. So there's that. Okay, sorry, Loki. You can continue.
All right. Let's see. Where were we? So it's also coming out on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. We also have some more. Looks like the Bubble Bobble game is also going to be coming out on PlayStation 4 as well, even though I said PlayStation 4 previously. I'm guessing maybe one's a physical version and one's not. We have also Mortal Kombat 11 coming out on Stadia. Star Renegades on Nintendo Switch and Xbox One. Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity on Nintendo Switch. Katamari Damacy Reroll on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And that would be it.
All right. Let's go to Japan virtually and check out the release dates over there. On November 19th on Nintendo Switch, we have Momotaro Densetsu Showa Hisei Reiwa Mo Taiban comes out, as well as, oh my God, I should really look at these in advance. There is legit... there is legit a game coming out on the Nintendo Switch called Panty Party Perfect Body. That's right.
Yeah.
Panty Party. And I, you know, guess what's on the box art? Schoolgirls. And guess what one of them is showing just a little flash of? See the game's title.
That skirt.
Now, it does come with a warning. There is no... Warning, no hentai content in this game. All you get is funny and stupid panties.
Okay.
I think that's a review somebody wrote about OLR on iTunes.
You know, apparently, according to this, it has been released over here as well.
Has it really?
Last year.
What was it called? Yeah, was it called Panty Party?
It's also called Panty Party. Yeah, it's $15 on your Switch.
All right, then this must be some type of, like, if it's called Perfect Body, it must be like a remaster or something that's on the Switch. So anyway, all right, let me try to just, there was nothing that could have prepared me for that. Moving on, Nekotomo Smile Mashimashi comes out this week. Galgun 2 gets a price reduction as it goes into the best hits. Looking at some of the other systems. Oh, I have PlayStation 5 to look at in Japan now, huh? So let's see. So the console itself already released. We didn't get to this part of the show last week. I don't think we have any games this week, just that the PlayStation 5 itself is coming to other regions in Asia, because remember there was the week delay. Jamie will get to it because it affects Europe as well. But it also impacted Asia. Otherwise, PlayStation 5 has nothing this week. I imagine they've, kind of put out all the stuff the week the system came out for a little while. Looking at the PlayStation 4, though, just because they're still going to release things on that for a little while. Yep. Katamari Damacy Reroll gets a release in Japan this week on the 19th. Sniper Elite 4 is also out in Japan, and a new edition of Black Desert, the Prestige Edition. Oh, Bubble Bobble 4 Friends, also out in Japan this week. There you go. That was a lot. Dark Soccer, how about the UK?
Oh, in the UK, we have on the 17th, Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate, Sniper Elite 4, Fortnite The Last Laugh Bundle, Truck Driver for Switch, on the 19th, Warhammer Chaos Baneslayer Edition, WRC 9 for PS5, Man Eater for PS5, Professor Rubik's Brain Fitness, Monster Trunk Championship, Dirt 5 for PS5, and the PS5. We have Watch Dogs Legion. We have on the 20th, we have Eldrador Creatures, Theme Park Simulator, not extended edition, Code in a Box, Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity, Sakuna of Rice and Ruin. That's what's coming out.
All right. Let's move on. We have some more stories for you guys.
I think it's very important that we elaborate on that game one more time. So taking a look at it. So it's literally like flying underwear that you're fighting as. It is a 3D like fighting like action game where you play as sentient underwear, apparently. It looks ridiculous.
Phoenix 7726 wants to know, is Chris Hansen an unlockable character?
Well, no, it's not really people. There's no people in the game. It's just flying underwear.
All right. Well, let's move on. Loki, why don't you start us off with some more actual news?
All right, let's talk about it. So apparently, Japan, Sony is going to stop servicing the original PlayStation 4, which seems quite surprising considering that, we just got the PlayStation 5. Apparently, what they're talking about is the original version of the PlayStation 4 that launched back in 2014. They are going to stop servicing, but the Slim and Pro series, they're going to still do repairs and whatnot on those. It's just the original model, which still, though, it seems like it's a pretty soon to stop supporting that, but well, do whatever they want. At least they know what a PlayStation 4 is and haven't completely forgot about it. Thank you, Vita.
The headlines on this, I think, were a little deceptive, too, because it was saying, like, PlayStation 4 is no longer serves. Well, it's some. It's the launch. So, but it definitely, it does seem pretty aggressive to be on its way out the door. You know what I mean? Like, the 5 yeah. just came out, you know?
Exactly. I think it's a bit soon. And considering that, you know, people are probably getting rid of their PlayStation 4s for PlayStation 5s. I mean,
they don't want to deal with the second hand, maybe?
Maybe, I don't know, but it is what it is.
I haven't decided if I want to keep my Xbox One or maybe get rid of it. I just don't know who won it. This you want it? You not have an Xbox One, Dark Sakura?
No.
I thought you guys had one.
No, we got a PS4.
Let's talk.
I at least want to borrow it.
Yeah, if you know what, honestly. Yes, I would be fine with you in this way. You don't have to give me money because I would be fine with it having a long-term home. Because when we move eventually, I'll probably set it up as a secondary media player, but I don't really have the space right now. So
I'll be honest, our PS3 and PS4 are both connected. We use the PS4 for YouTube and we use the PS3 for the few times we actually watch a physical disc.
Mm. Gotcha. Bobby says, I know some parents who want an Xbox One because I can play Minecraft. Well, Jamie, if you really want, let's talk because I can do that.
I'm a cat parent that wants to play Minecraft.
Well, to be fair, everything plays Minecraft nowadays, so
that's
fine.
That's true, too. Anyway, just speaking of which, Jamie, I guess you're going to go ahead and bow out for the night just to take care of yourself and because you've been a little under the weather. So and we could hear it. You starting to go during the release dates. So thank you, of course, for sticking it out and being here tonight. Glad you got to have a full show tonight. Sort of. I mean, I'm referring to the power drops last week or God, internet drops last week.
The goal is with another week of resting my voice that I will be 100%. So okay.
Fingers crossed.
But I would also still like to take the opportunity to tell people, pay the fuck attention to what the CDC is telling you. Wear your mask. Social distance. Don't fucking go to anybody's house for Thanksgiving. Just saying.
Yeah.
Unless you've all been tested.
We're doing the 2-week stay at home thing so we can see my dad. But that is it. We are only seeing my dad. So, but like, I can't let him be alone. I can't. So.
No, I understand. I'm actually taking a test on Monday to test myself again. They sent me 3 boxes of tests from work. I'm like, why? You already tested me.
Yeah. All right. Take care of yourself, Jamie. We'll talk to you in a week.
Thanks.
All right. Bye. All right. Moving on. Let's get to our next story where we talk about YouTube Premium. And I got to fix the cameras here real quick, though. Sorry. Awkward transition. All right. There we go. All right. let's talk about a free Google Stadia. But the catch is you have to be a YouTube Premium member. So you get the $99 bundle that features a Chromecast Ultra and a gamepad if you are a YouTube Premium member. This is for members in the U.S. and the U.K. You get the Stadia Premier Edition, a $99 bundle with the Chromecast Ultra and Stadia controller. And, you get that. And then you get a free month of Stadia Pro with that. But you have to remember to cancel that or they're going to get you on that. So I'm sure this is where people want to insert the joke that they can't even give it away. Well, you know what? For one, Stadia is supposed to be free anyway. So, like, you know, what are you getting? You're getting the Chromecast Ultra that's kind of like the first level of doing this. But the weird thing is, Alan has been like a YouTube subscriber for a long time, and he couldn't get one. He said he wasn't eligible for it. I didn't get that. But Google's also given away quite a few things. Both Alan and I have Google Homes. Well, we have 2 in the house, 1 in the bedroom, 1 in the living room, because of our Spotify subscriptions, and they gave away a free Google with that. Or his might have even come from his cell phone. I don't remember. But Google has definitely given their stuff away before. I don't know. What do you think about them giving away Stadia, Chromecast, and all that for free, Loki?
I mean, I guess they figured if you're buying their YouTube premium service that you're probably ripe to, you know, be interested in such a terrible service as Stadia. No, I don't know. It sounds like a last-ditch effort to try to get people either hooked on YouTube Premium or Stadia. I just think they're going to have to change their model at some point to make it more like Games Pass, but I don't know. We'll see. It sucks that he's not able to redeem that, considering he would be a subscriber to his, you know,
yeah, I don't know what
YouTube Premium.
The weird holdup is. I have to look into what kind of error message he's getting or whatever. But anyway, and some comments here. DJ Rama S in chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, damn, Google is desperate to get rid of them. Maybe, but remember, here's the thing. Stadia is supposed to be free anyway. But the missing part here is that how far are we into the launch of Stadia and we still don't have that version that you just sign on to the web and play? Unless you are a pro subscriber, right? Or am I mixing that up? Can you just go on with any old Gmail account and do it now on the web?
I don't know.
You could do it with pro, but I don't think you could do it with just like a free one. So it's just the whole thing's a little weird. I just feel like Google just flubbed this launch so bad. I don't know. Pixel Paca says, I'm very sad about Google Play Music. I downloaded all my stuff and put it on my Plex server instead. I forgot they just recently shut that down. That's right. I think I had a bunch of OLR episodes on there, a bunch of old ones. So, yeah. S200 Matt says, they want to get folks to get it so they can release that Gotta Have Stadia game, which they don't have yet. So it'll be interesting to see the effect this has. I know people that are cashing in on it. It's because, hey, free Chromecast, right? It's not just a Stadia, it's a Chromecast. So I know people that are cashing in on it. Is it some type of maybe Trojan horse trick? I don't know, especially when they talk about signing you up for a free month of Stadia Pro. I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see what kind of impact this might have on Stadia, if any. So
I still think it's just their core service isn't worth paying for. I mean, it just doesn't... Paying for the service and then I have to also buy the games on the service doesn't make any sense. It's just, especially when there's other companies offering stuff, it's just cheaper. And like, I don't get what the value proposition is that they're saying, that, especially since there's not new really, I mean, aside from, there's nothing really exclusive to that platform either. Like, I just don't get what they are hoping to do with this. Like, I don't know.
Oh, now this
is interesting. I think the service is gonna die.
DJ Rama S says Alan couldn't get it because the promotion for it ran out. So people in chat are asking, how do I get in on this? It sounds like you might. It's all have been claimed. The end. So interesting.
Brilliant.
I wonder if this was all just a trick to get us all to talk about it. I don't know, but it would be great if they could put out like that killer game
Totally getting Stadia now that I've talked about it.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to another story, and this has to do with the not TwitchCon is going on right now, the GlitchCon or whatever. And this is some I didn't really catch a lot of big Twitch news out of that. I like a big new feature coming or anything like that. Maybe you guys did and can correct me in chat.
Well,
and that
feature
fine.
Is that they're going to start flagging your games for win sounds.
Besides all of that, letting that go for a minute. Well, one of the big stories that came out of it was that the CEO, why can't I read this article here? Okay. The COO of Able Gamers, who's pretty popular on social media, Steven Svahn, I hope I said his last name right, sorry. But he's the COO of Able Gamers, and this charity's been around a while. It's actually the charity that my Amazon Smile is set to, for what it's worth. And they do a lot of great things for gamers with disabilities in video games. And one of the cool things that happened out of GlitchCon was that the COO, Steven, had wanted to, for his birthday, because he just hit his 40th birthday, I believe, wanted to raise $1 million for the Able Gamers charity. And Twitch just said, here you go. Here's $1 million for Able Gamers. So there's your goal and then some. So that's pretty awesome. And that all happened during a stream with Dr. Lupo and the CEO of Twitch, Emmett Shear, and that Twitch is going to donate $1 million to Able Gamers. That is pretty awesome. And it's interesting because Steven has said on Twitter, I've talked to The Rock, I've talked to Ryan Reynolds. I'm paraphrasing, this is not exact words. I've talked to The Rock, I've talked to Ryan Reynolds, but that is the one that caught me off guard. So that is cool. Great charity. Good news. We like gaming good news. All right. I'm trying to look in chat to see if anybody had said... Bobby Blackwolf says, that's nice of them, considering Twitch just laid off their accessibility manager. I guess it's easier to give money to the charity than actually do any accessibility work. Oof. But true. Which, did you catch my subtle segue to our next story, Logi?
Yes, it was so subtle. So we got to hear from Tommy Tallarico this week, and you may be wondering, what the hell does that have to do with Roblox? Well, it's because apparently Roblox Corporation lifted a little bit of his sound effects or sound design from an old game called Messiah back in 2000 and thought no one would notice. But apparently someone did. And so there was some stuff behind the scenes, and they finally settled to where the game is no longer going to have that oof sound effect for free. So what's happening basically is Tommy Tallarico is going to allow them to have that sound effect back in the game. If you are a creator of games on Roblox, you can actually purchase the sound effect to use in your games for 100 Robux. I think it's like $1. And then on top of that, he's also going to be creating some new sound effects that you could also use in your games as well, ranging anywhere from like $10 to $250, depending on the number of sounds that are included with it. So it's available to developers on there. Also, he is working with the Roblox Corporation to create an official oof t-shirt that they're going to sell. I'm sure he's going to get proceeds from. But basically, yeah, the whole thing's been settled without, seems like a lawsuit. But yeah, that was kind of interesting that they've been, well, I wouldn't say it's interesting because if you've played Roblox or have browsed through Roblox, you'll know that because a lot of these games are created by kids, kids have no concept of copyright law or, I mean, this is literally just a bomb waiting to go off as far as IP theft goes. It's just ridiculous. And so it's not surprising that at the heart of the game, more IP theft.
My understanding of how that all happened was that, you know, when they made Roblox, they kind of got like one of those like 1,000 sound effects licensable for your thing or whatever. And I don't know those exact details, but it's one of those like, you know, license a bunch of sound effects and the oof was included in there, and oof, it shouldn't have been because it wasn't licensed from Tommy or anything like that. It was essentially stolen. So Roblox thought that they had licensed it appropriately, but it sounds like this middle person is the one that's really to blame, whoever had ripped it off for their collection. So
interesting. Yeah. All right. So well, at least there was no harm, no foul, but they've worked on, you know, some fair resolution for it.
No one special is on fire tonight. Pixel Paco says, official oof t-shirt, LOL, to which No One Special 77 chat replies, it's an official t-shirt.
Nice. Yeah, so
you've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio.
Are we going
to
see Roblox?
Sorry, I had to do the roll credits on the bad joke. All right, go ahead.
are we going to see any Roblox heading to the Amico or anything like that now that Tommy's mixed
that
in
would be
that?
A gag. That would be a gag, but I believe the rule on Amico is that everything has to be for Amico and exclusive to it. I mean, they could maybe dance around and have some type of official Roblox side game or version, but who knows? Anything's possible, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. One more story for you guys before we get to the roundtable. Let's talk about Plague Inc. This game has been talked about, especially this year. I can't imagine why, but there's a new mode that they launched just in time where you try to stop a pandemic. Do you you think it's easy, boys and girls? Well, now you can try through Plague Inc. So this new mode called the Cure Mode, you have to find a balance between contact tracing, vaccine research, helping to save the economy, locking down as appropriate and so forth to try to bring the end of a pandemic. And if you figure it out, call the White House and let them know because they might need some help. But yeah, so interesting is that it's the reverse of what Plague Inc. kind of was before, is that you actually wanted to spread a virus to wipe out humanity. So this is the more hopeful version of that to go for 2020. So I think that's kind of interesting. It's cute that the game's been turned on its head like that. So have you ever played this game, Loki? I have to admit I haven't.
But no, I haven't.
I've heard a lot about it, certainly because of what's been going on this year. So I imagine there'll be some streams and things like that. So, all right. Let's get to the listener roundtable. We're going to invite your questions and comments to our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Also, this is the part of the show where we get into the mailbag. Now, this week, we didn't have any emails. However, because last week's show got cut off early thanks to the internet, we actually had some emails from last week we never got to. So I do want to read these two emails, but I am going to warn you guys it may be a little dated because we're now 2 weeks from when they were sent. But let's get to our first email tonight, which is from, I believe this is no one special, although it's unsigned. All right, here we go. Hi, all. I hope all is well with you this week. Since it's been a while since my last email, I thought I'd send one this week. Plus, unless I think of something at the last second, sending this email negates the need for me to send one of my long-winded listener roundtable subjects. So while this isn't wholly email-worthy, I do have some good news to report. So for brevity's sake, I'll TLDR this. Despite it being incredibly late and I have given up any hope of getting it, I will finally get that $1,200 stimulus check in about a week. I got a call from my SSD payee the other day stating that she just received it on my behalf since stimulus checks went out to wherever people who are on Social Security have their federal monthly checks sent, and when her agency mails out checks this week, she'll forward the money to me. Now, I'm imagining that there's a chance that at least one of you are asking yourselves, okay, good for you, what does this relate to gaming? After all, OLR is a show about gaming. Well, to be fair, it's a show about gaming and tangents. Good point, I'm getting to that. As I've mentioned from time to time in the past, one thing I've always wanted was an honest-to-goodness arcade cabinet. Something like a classic game from the 80s or 90s, be it any version of Street Fighter II, one of the 2D Mortal Kombat games, Cruisin' USA, a Neo Geo, MVS, etc. Even with $1,200, I still can't afford one of those, unfortunately. They are closer to $2,500 or $3,000 at the least. So that being said, I'm going to bite the proverbial bullet and buy the arcade 1-Up version of the Neo Geo MVS from Amazon, linked to the Amazon page. Now, before I go any further, I don't recall Arcade 1-Up doing a Neo Geo.
No, it's SNK actually doing
Thank you. Okay, that's what I thought. So SNK is actually doing this themselves. However, it is probably happening due to the success of Arcade 1-Up, and I'm sure we have Arcade 1-Up to thank for this coming out, and it's very much in a similar vein to the Arcade 1-Up machines. But I do just want to make that clarity point, is that Arcade 1-Up themselves is not the one doing it, but you wouldn't necessarily know by looking. Okay. So, that all being said, let me finish the email. Maybe if I can swing it, I'll also order a few things for my PC on top of the Neo Geo MVS, like new RAM, new controller, and so forth. But that last part aside, despite it not being perfect, like not an actual arcade machine that would accept quarters and tokens and have cartridge slots, I'm still excited to have the next best thing. I do have a two-part question for you all. Have any of you, at a minimum, had an opportunity to try the Arcade 1-Up version of the Neo Geo MVS? I'm going to rephrase that to what we just discussed. And if so, what are your thoughts on it, pros and cons? I haven't. I didn't even know it was out. I thought it was coming out, but he did link us to an Amazon page where, okay, this item will be released on November 24th. So that's the answer. None of us have played it yet because we can't. It's not out yet.
Well, I've seen like video reviews from folks that are familiar with the MVS and have played a lot of that through like a super gun or something like that, and talking about what it is in. It sounds like it's pretty good as far as mimicking the MVS, and the only complaints some people had were like maybe the controller might not be exactly what you want, but that stuff probably could be swapped out part-wise, some of the buttons and everything. Some of the graphics filters were kind of annoying. Like, for example, they had some where if you wanted certain scan lines in there, they only had it with, like, the graphics smoothing option, which is kind of irritating, instead of, like, the pixel perfect option. So you may just... some of those issues might be a thing, but otherwise it's a pretty good recreation of it.
I think, yeah, and just, you know, I'm going to have to base my assumption based off of actual arcade 1UP machines and what this is trying to emulate. I will say, number one, it has a pretty impressive lineup of games in it. You know, most of those arcade 1UP machines only have 5 or 6 games in them, which is a problem for some people. I'm not so bothered by it. I get what they're trying to do with that, kind of like limited release, but the Neo Geo one does sound very robust, so there is that. And it's going to be a different, you know, kind of screen on it from what you remember in the arcades back in the day. But I actually think that makes it more manageable. But I think the way you kind of phrased it, where it's the next best thing, I think is probably going to be appropriate. Is like, it's probably going to be enough for you to kind of invoke those memories of playing it at an arcade. You wouldn't want to deal with the quarter stuff and all that stuff. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm not to say who, what type of collector people are and so forth. But let me rephrase. That quarter stuff and token slot and all that, that might be more hassle than you think. Especially if you just want to get in there and play the games. So, you know what? There might actually be an upside to some of this. But I'd be curious to hear your thoughts once you get it all sorted out and this comes in. And by the way, before anybody says anything about spending a stimulus check on an arcade machine, people can spend the money however they like. And there's plenty of people that are spending the stimulus check on vacations and things of that sort. So how is this any different? And you know what? It's one of those things where it's like, I also totally recognize that like 2020 has been hard on people's mental health across the board. So like, if this is something that a person can buy to make themselves happy for a day, again, who am I to judge? I ain't. So I just wanted to get that out there because I could see how some folks might be kind of asking some questions there. And just remember, it's not your place to ask that question. All right. Anyway, the rest of the email. Thanks for taking the time to read and answer this email. This email is brought to you by the front door of the White House, which hopefully will hit Trump hard on the ass on his way out. Na 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 na. Hey hey, goodbye. Dances the Cabbage Patch. You can tell this was written shortly after that election on Tuesday. Yes, Mr. Smush, I'm reading emails. Did you want to read the next email? He's off camera, unfortunately, but he's sitting here giving his opinion. All right. Black Compat in chat says, retail therapy has been saving grace for me this year. Same. Like, you know, did I need an Xbox Series X? Probably not. Am I happy I bought one? Yeah. So there you go. All right. Let's get to one more email, which is from YYR. And again, this is a dated email because of last week's issues. Hello, LR. I wanted to weigh in. Oh, by the way, before I get into this too far, YYR did. I saw this on Discord. I'm sorry. I didn't see the stream, but he did some type of charity stream today where he was supposed to play Max 300 41 times in a row to celebrate. Or yes. Was it 40 or 41 to celebrate 41. Turning his age? So I thought that was impressive, dude, because I don't even think I've ever beat that song one time. Yeah. even a 9-footer that's pretty hard that I probably could still do, like, let's say Orion 7-8 Civ Mix, right? I still... Like, I still remember how those notes go in my head. But, and for some of you probably have no idea what we're talking about. This is a DDR thing, okay? But the fact that he could do that 41 times, that in itself is impressive. I hope the stream went very well. I'm sorry I missed it. Sunday's a very busy day. Oh, SJ100 Matt says YYR's birthday is today. Well, happy birthday. All right. Well, let's finish the birthday boy's email. Okay. I wanted to weigh in on the PlayStation 5 backwards compatibility issue we were talking about on last week's show. Again, we might be dealing with some dated things because we've had some answered questions since then, but let's move on. We have a list, a short one, but a list nonetheless, of seemingly random games that we're told won't run on PlayStation 5 at all. We have a disclaimer on every PlayStation 4 game in the PlayStation Store warning us that there may be issues running it on PlayStation 5. And now we have Ubisoft mentioning, then unmentioning, issues with some of their PS4 games on PS5. Personally, for me, this adds up to a bad omen. I get the sense that the PlayStation 5's backwards compatibility is going to come with asterisks and cavats, and that we're not going to get the full sense of what all these are until the consoles are already in our hands. I get the distinct impression that Sony did not fully plan for this, as Microsoft certainly appears to have done, and that if someone is looking specifically to play PlayStation 4 games, they should probably buy a PlayStation 4 rather than bank on the theory that PlayStation 5 would play them perfectly. All of that said, I hope to be proven wrong. So, now we have some answers. Was YYR wrong? I would say not completely, because he did say there, play them perfectly. And we have news. It's not perfect, but it's playable, right? So, and I think those are some of the nuances that might have caused some of that confusion that we got again when Ubisoft had put out that announcement there. So that's kind of my take on it now that the consoles are out in people's hands, is that it's not perfect. And if you want to play perfect, if you want to play the game it was absolutely meant to be designed for, especially if they didn't do an updated release like No Man's Sky or something, you want to play it on a PlayStation 4. And this is, you know, this is emulation versus the real thing, right? And there's always going to be people with their strong opinions one way or the other. So, and Fifth Dream says that it wants to say that is also on a vast minority of games. Most games play way better on PlayStation 5, and especially when you're talking about first-party games, I'm sure, because, you know, they went in and made those better, or made sure they would work, and they would work better. Anyway, to conclude Birthday Boy's email, thanks again for the show. Oh, and by the way, I wasn't kidding when I said to expect a Pixel Poops announcement soon, so please look forward to that. Have a great week. Aaron or YYR. Well, I'm not, what, it's been a week. Where's my announcement? All right. No, I'm excited to see whatever he has in store. That's awesome. All right. That's it for our emails. Again, looking at chat to see if there's any questions. I don't see any questions. There's a lot of people impressed on the Max 300 thing in chat, for what it's worth. Loki, do we have any last minute stories tonight?
Yeah, there was one quick thing. So apparently some fans have ported over Driver 2 to PC, which is interesting because it was originally a PlayStation exclusive. So now they have this open source. They basically pulled a Mario 64 on it. They reverse engineered the original code and then made an actual proper port of it and are releasing it just in time for the 20th anniversary. So it's called ReDriver 2 Project, and it's available on GitHub, github.com opendriver2/ReDriver2. It's free, by the way, I'm sure is going to get them in trouble. So get it while you can.
All right. So and also, I got a text before the show from Shane, and maybe some of you in chat have more of a grip of what's going on, the situation. But apparently Capcom has had some information leak out. What did the text say? A ton of Capcom leaks just happened, it looks like, by the way. And that did trigger my memory about that last week we had a story. And I don't remember if we got to it or not. It might have been cut because of the internet issue. But there was a story about that customer data from Capcom had leaked had been hacked.
Apparently, this is something different. So it says apparently a hacker group has stolen 1 terabyte worth of stuff. But only have leaked 60 gigabytes of it, and includes the Devil May Cry 2 source code, oof, Umbrella Chronicles source code, Resident Evil 4 VR, Ace Attorney collection for PlayStation 4 and Switch.
Is this the same group that did this to Nintendo?
I don't know.
That's my curiosity. Yeah, and that's what Fifth Dream is asking as well, is are all these leaks coming from the same leakers? I'd be very curious about that, because if I was another gaming company right now, I would be putting the law. I mean, I'm sure Nintendo, you would think, would be secure as it is, and Capcom. So I don't know how they're getting in, if they're doing social engineering or what they're doing to get into this stuff. But if I was a gaming company, I would be looking at my security policies real good right now, because this is, you know, and this again puts us in this weird ethical gray area where I don't think it's necessarily right to be spreading all of this stuff that is hacked, but it's all over social media. It can't be avoided. It is what gamers are talking about. So I just hope video game companies are trying to take the steps they need so that they don't suffer the same fate. This is really rough. I don't know what else to say. Fifth Dream says, what I understand, some of these leaks happened years ago. They're just dribbling them out. Bob Coffey says, Nintendo's, if I recall correctly, was leaked via a Chinese company that did the IQ devices, not Nintendo proper. Well, it's still, you know what? Anytime you have vendor agreements or whatever it is, you got to make sure that stuff is on lockdown. It's any game company. If you know what? I don't know how many people we have out there still listening that work in the game industry, but I would be so curious if your company, and I realize y'all can't really tell me, but you know, you can tell me on the down low if you want. I would be so curious if your company doesn't blast some sort of security information this week, or if it hasn't already in the past couple weeks, some sort of training everybody has to take on security or changed measures or whatever, just to make sure that this doesn't happen to the next company. Cause that's two big ones now. And that's an oof for sure. So, all right. Anything else we should talk about, Loki, or is that it?
I think that's it. I'm sure we'll hire more about that next week.
Yeah, the Capcom thing. It's such an ethical gray area. But if it catches wind and it's all over social media, I feel like, you know, we have to talk about it because that's the type of thing that people would be talking about at the dinner table. But yeah, it's just I think we have to take the approach of how do we prevent this from happening again if it hasn't already. From the comments of, you know, this could have happened to a ton of sites already. All right. Let's get to some final thoughts and wrap it up for the night. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Orange Lounge Radio and being here, especially at the launch of another console generation and especially after last week's show did not go as intended. So I'm glad tonight went a lot more smooth. Thank you. Thank you. So thank you guys for tuning in and supporting us, whether you were here live on Sunday night or whether you caught us on the podcast feed a little later on. Really appreciate your support in that regard. So if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices here to tell us bad jokes like no one special does. Your auto hosts on I almost said iTunes. Your auto hosts on Twitch go a real long way. Your reviews on iTunes are great, but your auto hosts on Twitch for VOG Network go a real long way. Super appreciate those of you that do it. I think Bobby told me 2 weeks ago or last week that we had like 40 people that were doing it, so that is great. I really want to thank everybody who goes out of their way to host the feed here, so thank you so much. That's a really great way to get the word out. Otherwise, that's really all I got. Have fun gaming, be nice to each other, enjoy your systems, and stop trying to exploit your new systems for clicks. Just play games. That's what they're for. Let's get official final thoughts. Loki, I'll go to you. Final thought.
Just going to be working more on my game.
You think you'll finish by the end of the year?
Yeah, I'm hopeful that I can. There's been a few things that should have been easy that aren't easy. So I'm just working on getting through that. And then my goal is to get, once I have all of the gameplay loop done, then it's just all creating levels. And that'll make it much easier. Level content's much easier than having to develop the game systems.
Quick request from chat, and I apologize to the podcast listeners because this isn't going to be great. But She-Hulk10 says, let's see Loki's shirt. We can see the part that says Xbox, but we can't really see what's underneath it. There's some iconography underneath it. So
yeah, so there's different Xbox properties in here. So I saw this at Target the other day. So they've got, it's the Gears of War logo. There's a Minecraft creeper, Master Chief helmet. There's a steering wheel, which I'm assuming is Forza, Ori, and a treasure chest, which I'm sure has to do with their Sea of Thieves game. So it was just some, like, it was on sale at Target, so I just picked it up. That, and I also have one for a Maru-chan ramen shirt. So I got that as well.
Love it. All right. I don't really have a lot of extra final thoughts. I think I just kind of got it out there. Like, have fun. Enjoy games. I know this is a really crappy time with COVID, putting people back indoors, and the holidays are going to be different from what you're used to. But games are a way that we can come together a little bit. So on a super cheesy note, I'm glad y'all come together with us every Sunday night and spend time talking about games with us. I mean that. It's not just a cheesy statement. I really do. So I think on that note, we'll go ahead and roll the credits for real. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll see you in 7 days to talk about more games. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.